You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones had a triple-digit drop in trading. We'll have the closing numbers coming up in our business block. President Bush met with Senate Republicans on Capitol Hill today for lunch. They discussed the stalled immigration bill, which President Bush has vowed will pass. He said the status quo is unacceptable. A Republican senator who supports the president but opposes the bill said, quote, "I think it's bad for the country. I think it's bad for the Republican Party." The U.S. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns today accused Iran of helping Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan by transferring weapons to them. He said across the Middle East, Iran is funding insurrections. However, this is the first time a top U.S. official accused Iran of interfering in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan early today, U.S. troops were mistaken for Taliban fighters and attacked by Afghan police. The U.S. forces returned fire, killing 8 Afghan policemen. There were no U.S. casualties. In Iraq, for the third day in a row, suspected Sunni insurgents bombed and badly damaged a bridge. Their recent campaign has targeted key transportation links in the country. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte was sent to Baghdad to put more pressure on the government to carry out political reforms. In Iraq on Sunday, the top American military commander, Admiral William J. Fallon, reportedly warned the Iraqi government that progress is needed soon. In northern Gaza, Hamas gunmen took over the headquarters of the security forces who are allied with Fatah. At least 10 people were killed and 30 were wounded in the battle, which lasted several hours. The latest Los Angeles Times Bloomberg poll for the 2008 presidential nomination finds Republican Fred Thompson, who hasn't even officially entered the race yet, gaining the number two position with 21%, right after former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who has the first place lead with 27%. On the Democratic side, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is the front runner with 33% support. Next is Illinois Senator Barack Obama with 22%. That same poll only finds that 27% of those surveyed approve of how Congress is doing its job. They say that the new Democratic Congress is working in a business-as-usual way rather than making changes that were promised after the 2008 midterm elections. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee. George W. Bush, Maximum Decider.
Next time you see a stranger on a plane, a stranger with those swarthy looks we all know, ask yourself, shouldn't I be afraid? Maybe he wants to kill me. Maybe he hates us for our freedom. Fear. It's what's for dinner.
Hey, kids. There are some questions about what's this new gay conversation radio show coming in June on the Head On Radio Network. Well, the details are safely locked away in my closet, located on a dirt road in the rural South. So the next time you're traveling on an interstate highway, staring out into the red state abyss, just smile and think to yourself, honey, we're everywhere.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Bill. years. Do you remember the Kellogg's Rice Krispies jingle?
Snap! What a happy sound! Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, clap, clap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies.
Well, this week on Foxed Up, you will be surprised to know just who composed that jingle and the band who recorded it. So join us this Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern with John Fox on Foxed Up, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Pops the sound, the best is missed unless Pops around.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! All right then, let's hit the ground running. You know, one of the things that happens sometimes is we get so busy in our conversations that we don't even hit the major stories of the day, and it just drives me bananas when I sit on a story for 3 days over a weekend or something like that. And I could have done a six-hour show last night. Agnes would not have done a six-hour show last night, but I could have done a six-hour show last night, I assure you.
Sure, I would.
But what a wonderful time we had last night. Conversations with Greg Pallast, Bree Walker, and Sansara Taylor, as well as your calls. It reinforced for me the rightness, if you will, of what we're doing here. It reinforced the idea that we can have conversation and discussion and that we can move toward a consensus on the rightness and wrongness of things. It moved me toward a conviction that there is a place for uninterrupted, unpolluted conversation in American media. And I would assume, I would take it from what I've been hearing, that you agree. And that gladdens my heart. Makes me feel good. But of course, now our good friend John Fox discussed this a little bit earlier on All Foxed Up. I know that our good friend Mike Malloy discussed it as well on his program last night. But you know there is not any way whatsoever that I am going to let go by me a headline, Dear God. I mean, yeah, you've all heard about it by now, but it's still just stuns me. I mean, I feel like a cow standing in the slaughterhouse that just got the little electric prod between the between the eyes. Yeah, it's one of those Reverend Jim faces, if you remember your taxi. Pentagon confirms it sought to build a gay bomb. Say that again. Say that 10 or 15 times. Pentagon confirms that it sought to build a gay bomb. And I thought those only happened off-Broadway. This thing is rife with comic potential. Let's see. For instance, logistical support for using the gay bomb on another army included flying C-130s loaded with Carmen Miranda hats and disco balls and parachuting them onto the stricken soldiers. How's that? Or canister shot would be fired over their heads, releasing iPods loaded with the greatest hits of Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland. Funny, huh?
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, it plays into all the stereotypes. And I don't know if that's right. This is a funny story, but there is a lot of stuff that is profoundly unfunny underneath it. There is bigotry underneath it. There is a genderism or a sexism no less virulent than that of the Right Reverend Fred Phelps, ordained Baptist minister. Because there's an assumption here. The movie itself was just awful. But then, just as the porn industry responded to Saving Private Ryan by producing a porn flick called Shaving Ryan's Privates, they responded to Flash Gordon with the porn classic Flesh Gordon, in which the Emperor... Oh, I forget what they changed the Emperor Ming the Merciless to. You can only imagine. But in which the Emperor Ming the Merciless had at his disposal a sex ray, which, when turned upon his adversaries, made them incredibly lust-filled. Come on, use the word horny. And made them just have sex like, you know, little monkeys in the monkey house. Anybody remember the Richard Pryor bit? Where the guy gave him the monkey and it came... Rich, your monkey just... No. That means that somewhere out there is a defense industry analyst employed in the state of Ohio who spends his spare time watching really bad, dirty movies. Because it's an easy leap. Hey, wait a minute. He's got a sex weapon, and it turns all his opponents into just raving sex maniacs, and they can't fight back against him. I bet if we use $7 million of taxpayer money, we could have one too, and we could put it in a bomb, and we could explode it in an airburst, and just spray sex magic over the whole. Oh, for pity's sakes! Does that? There, buried in this story, if you peel back the onion layers, are exposed some assumptions on the part of the military. No wonder we're having such a hard time getting rid of not only bigotry against gay folk in the military, but bigotry against sexuality in general. No wonder the Army is and our Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps are rife with rape. This is institutional. This is top-down stuff. No, not top-down that way. But this is an attitudinal problem. This is a determination from the top brass downward about sexuality and about the uses. Hear that again. The uses of sexuality. To these freaks, and see this, and it's also a commentary on them. Whoever came up with this idea, I would have endless pity upon his, most likely his or her spouse. Because sex to them is a weapon. Can you imagine what it must be like to live with someone that thinks the beauties and the slippery joys of human sexuality are something that are to be developed into a means by which we kill the other side? Because bear in mind, this was described as a non-lethal weapon, but we're talking about the military here. So assuming that they were successful in building their great big 5-megaton mauve and peach colored gay bomb, and that having used it upon the troops who then turned lustfully upon one another, what would happen to them afterward? Wouldn't they re-cohere once the gay, or was this permanent? It's supposed to be non-lethal, but after it wears off, don't they sort of regroup and go forward? Of course they do, or not. But what does happen is once they're incapacitated, once they are in the throes of the act of love, the mighty American military slaughter machine comes along and kills them to the last man. Because, after all, this is what it's about. This is so antediluvian. It is disgusting. And it is far too easy to just sort of run past this story and go, ha, 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 them damn stupid Republicans going to turn people gay. Golly dang. Without peeling back a couple of layers of the onions and understanding what kind of insidious mind comes up with an idea like this. I mentioned Dr. Strangelove a little bit ago. It's Dr. Strangelove sitting in the wheelchair in the movie saying, "Animals could be bred and slaughtered." And of course, we would have to have a high birth rate, so every man would be forced to have no less than 6 to 10 women to service. I realize it would be a terrible sacrifice for the country. Oh, what kind of accent I'm doing here? Animals could be bred and slaughtered. We cannot have a mineshaft gap. And to think that we give more of our money in this country to boobs that sit around trying to think up gay bombs than we give to health care. We give more money to boobs who sit around trying to come up with microwave ray guns than we give to road building or home building or wage support or food for the poor. I don't know where the tipping point is. And of course, liberal radio is talking about this. I got some listener email about it. You know, gee, Bob, did you hear about it? And yeah, Lawrence, I did. And I appreciate the email. But at some point, this country is going to have to look up and realize what a fool's errand it has been on, throwing its treasure down the filthy cloaca that is our military-industrial complex. I talked a little bit last night about the disconnect between what one does for a living and what one is around one's house. I'm reminded of that line from To Kill a Mockingbird, where Atticus Finch explains to Scout that he has to be the same man in his house as he is on the street, or he loses all of his moral right to raise and correct and guide his children. We don't live that way in America anymore. Last night I referenced the person who maybe works at Northrop Grumman and sits and works all day long building engines of death and destruction and misery, and then comes home and smiles and looks at his family as if he had spent a moral day in the office. He hasn't. He doesn't. But I'm sure his paycheck has a watermark printed on it with an American flag that says, "Defending our freedoms at Northrop Grumman." You know what I mean? Kind of ashamed myself. I hijacked part of Joe Vecchio's show this morning. This whole idea is so bothersome to me. No wonder we this nation is absolutely awash in SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you know, antidepressants. No wonder our kids are stoned out of their minds on Ritalin and other drugs for hyperactivity disorder. No wonder our kids are being diagnosed and overprescribed antipsychotic medications at a rate never before seen in our nation's history. No wonder, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder. It all stems from what we ask of our families and what we ask of the breadwinners in our families. We ask our breadwinners to eat it and smile, because you know what? The bread they bring home is a poop sandwich, and the only difference is that the more bread there is, the less poop you have to taste. What was that dirty look, Agnes?
A lot of crap there, Bob.
Yeah, I know. But this... what a broken nation. What kind of terrified nation do we live in where we're paying some idiot, and I mean idiot in the classical, the psychological, psychiatric definition of the word, that we are paying some idiot to sit around going, well, maybe we could build a bomb that would turn people into fairies. And what kind of losers do we have in the military that say, you know, there's a possibility in that. Let me see here. I'm going to lick the pencil. They had $7.5 million to study this. $7.5 million over the course of years. And, you know, I'm treating this story as though it's legit. The guy who found out the information said the government records he obtained suggest the military gave the plan much stronger consideration than it has acknowledged, because the truth of the matter is it would never have come to my attention if it was dismissed at the time it was proposed. In fact, the Pentagon has used it repeatedly and subsequently in an effort to promote non-lethal weapons, and in fact they submitted it to the highest scientific review body in the country for them to consider. The Gay Ray! Yeah, okay, maybe they watched Earth Girls or Easy. I still think it was Flesh Gordon. This is not just a little kicker story. You know, the kicker's the story that the newsreader on the radio puts on at the end of the newscast. Oh, and by the way, three men in Pomona were hijacked by a man claiming to be the devil. No. This is news. This is a real news story. There should be a searchlight shown on this story, and heads, frankly, should roll at the Pentagon from the top down. I got an email a little bit ago from our good buddy Cossack. Tom was in his early 50s, retired, and started a second career. However, he just couldn't seem to get to work on time. Every day, 10, 15 minutes late. But he was also a real good worker, real sharp, so the boss was in a quandary about how to deal with it. Finally, one day he called him into the office for a talk. Tom, I have to tell you, I like your work ethic. You do a bang-up job, but you're being late so often. It's quite bothersome. Yeah, I know, boss. I'm really working on it. Well, good. You're a team player. That's what I like to hear. It's odd, though, you're coming in late. I know you're retired from the Air Force. What did they say if you came in late there? Well, they said, good morning, General. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? I mean, this is the same mindset that gave us in the early 60s the plot to poison Fidel Castro and make his beard fall out. Do you remember that? Or did you ever read about it if you're too young to remember that? These are the people who say that they're the grown-ups. These are the people who say that they can be trusted with the well-being of this once great nation. And there's $7.5 million to figure out that we can't, because they, you know, this stuff did make it out into Freedom of Information now, so they're done with it, and they're not trying to build a gay bomb anymore, because it took them $7.5 million to figure out that they couldn't build a gay bomb. Oh Lord, you know, we're the laughing. This kind of story. One of the comments I got came all the way from Switzerland. We are the laughing stock of the world with this kind of stuff. We are identified as a nation that is, I mean, DSM-4 Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 4th edition of the American Psychiatric Association. Crazy!
Calling Dr. Rick.
That we would just contemplate something as silly, as stupid, as boneheaded, as bigoted as this. It boggles the mind. This isn't 21st century weaponry. Jesus, this is the dream of the alchemists, the universal solvent. Where the hell do I live, you know? You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. Your calls are welcome. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Geez, never mind the gay bomb. That song's enough. That song itself is enough.
That's a wonderful song. You leave it alone. I love that song. Just leave it alone.
Oh, that's okay. We got in the Navy in there, too. I played that for John Fox earlier this morning when he was doing this story. Do you realize how much repression there has to be to come up with the idea of the gay bomb? Do you realize how much latency there has to be? How much individual fear of his or her own sexuality a person has to have in order to come up with to imagine that being made gay would become somehow disabling? Jeez, Marie. Let's go to the phones. David's calling from Maine. Hey, David. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. This has to do with what we're talking with. I'm sending you this story right now, by the way.
Okay.
But before I begin that, I just have to say the funny story today for me is the Albanian stealing the president's watch. That's a good one.
Oh, I love that. You know, it was a fair trade. They named a street in front of the parliament after him.
Right.
They issued 3 postage stamps. I don't know if one of them was printed upside down. It would have been fitting. He was given a hero's welcome in Albania.
And Tony Snow denied it. He was like, no, that's not what happened. He goes, geez, I guess today is noogie day. You guys are giving me noogies. He couldn't admit the fact that the watch was stolen.
Jeez.
Good Lord. Anyways, that's not what I called. I called today specifically because I've had this story for about 3 months. And every time I call, I always get sidetracked onto something else, and it just sits there. It's amazing that you talked about the defense industry, because that's what I was going to bring about today.
Okay.
Basically, what it is, it's about a place called IDEX. It sounds like an investment company.
IDEX? It sounds like a mountain goat.
Yeah, it sounds harmless. Now, what is IDEX? Well, IDEX is the biggest defense conference in the United Arab Emirates. And internationally, around the world, people go to it. And they have a
International Defense Exchange, right?
Yes, Yes, and it makes it, you know, if you look at their site and you look at the logo, you think you're going to buy some European candy or something. Or it looks like a stalker website with a logo or something. Something like that. But what's really to keep an eye out for is the guy who owns it. The guy who runs IDEX, people, is Mohammed bin Zayed, the UAE's crown prince. And...
Wait, is this the same enlightened crown prince who just endowed a multi-billion-dollar foundation for literacy in the Middle East?
I think it is, and it's the same guy who likes to go falconing with bin Laden. So here's the stupidity of this country. We're doing business, or maybe it's the brilliance, or maybe it's the complete deviant, torturous brilliance of this country. We're doing business directly in the defense market through all around the world with this guy as the head, completely open. And if you read on the website, which I think is buggy for a reason because we're not supposed to be on there. I think you're supposed to sign up as exhibitors or investors or something. But some of the links I sent you, Bob, the curious ones are, The infomercial DVD that they put together, they have a lot of people around the world, generals, lieutenants, ambassadors, diplomats, just everyone coming out to party with them. What's interesting about this conference, people, is the fact that they actually have a playground outside of where they can run the missiles and run the tanks. And they have lectures like...
They've got a McDonaldland?
I don't know. Maybe they do. They have lectures like Land Warfare till 2025, and I keep thinking, you know, if we're doing business on this kind of scale and this kind of level, how on earth can this country even begin to talk peace? And how can you even...
Well, look, let's stop right there, David. We have no interest in peace.
That's true. But what I'm saying is. We're doing direct business with a bin Laden associate. People around the world are saying, how can people be this stupid? I mean, they didn't even check this guy out. I gave you the Mad Cow Productions link to this.
Yeah.
It says, Bush ally in war on terror, vacation with bin Laden, then aided 9/11 conspirator. Now, I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to say anything on that. But what I do see is a direct correlation and a direct link to... a few different select associates in business and defense, and it seems to me that this guy, whatever they want to do, they've outlined what it is. And if he was involved in 9/11, it would be a perfect fit for him, because now he has a complete network and a complete pipeline to the defense industry in the Middle East, and they don't have to say. They don't even have to say it's the war on terror. They can just say it's for defense purposes.
Well, it occurs to me, you know, I was talking there with the Gay Bomb about the inherent bigotry in coming up with that idea. Please understand, as I said earlier, David, the United States has no interest whatsoever in peace, especially in the Middle East. Okay, if you go back to the April Glaspie telex that got the first Gulf War started, it was the official position of the United States government in the first Bush administration, and this is almost a quote, it's a damn close paraphrase, the United States takes no position on Arab-Arab conflicts. We prefer, or have for decades, for the Arabs to be at each other's throats. Okay, because especially with OPEC in place, whenever these countries go after each other, they have only one thing that can provide money for their wars, and that is to dump oil onto the world market. And when they do that, prices go down. So therefore, slaughter among the Arabic peoples is good for you at the gas pump, and it therefore becomes national policy. This represents a means whereby you can have a marketplace so that the Saudis can buy weapons easily, and the Qataris, and the Kuwaitis, and theoretically the Iraqis, and the Iranians, and everybody can be armed to the teeth and just slaughter the hell out of each other, and that way we get a nickel off our gallon at the pump. It is cynical, it is brutal, and it is inhumane, it is barbaric, and it's, one would almost argue that it is criminal.
This guy reminds me in particular of Bandar Bush.
Oh, then there's Bandar.
Yeah, he is a complete...
Read about Bandar?
Yeah. He has a complete self-hatred for his culture and his way of life, and so desperately wants to be modern and Western. And I look at something like this, and I believe that all of what we're seeing right now is just like a complete de-evolution of the whole Arab culture and the royalty. They really want to get rid of the they want to hybrid and euthanize the Western. They want to keep the olden dictatorial type of rule, but then they also want to keep the complete conglomerate corporations tied together with it.
Well, yeah, but most of all, they want to keep that culture in check because they're scared to death of Arabic peoples. And at the same time that they're kissing them on the face, they're working out ways to make sure that they kill each other. Look, Lieberman on...
Oh, yeah.
Face the Russert or This Week with the Nation or whatever, one of those Sunday blab fests that's nothing but Republicans. Lieberman said, we must bomb Iran now because they're providing weapons to the Shiite insurgents in Iraq,
mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Well, interestingly enough, old Holy Joe didn't have anything to say about the fact that the Bush administration's bosom buddies, the Saudis, are pouring weapons into Iraq to arm the Sunnis. I didn't see him, and the Sunnis are killing us, the Shiites are killing us, they're all killing us because they want us the hell out of there.
He doesn't have time to study that yet. He has to practice his smiling.
Oh, Jesus. I wonder about the people of Connecticut. I really, really do. I wonder how they feel now that they see him just, every time George Bush yawns, Laura can see Joe smiling in the back of his throat. He's so far up his rear end.
They passed on, I still believe that was a thrown election. They passed on him for Lamont. God, give me a break. I still think, Bob, the caging, I think there's all kinds of, there was all kinds of caging in Connecticut or something. Because it just didn't make any sense why anyone would want him back again. It's Connecticut, for God's sake.
Yeah.
It's not Alabama.
Hey, easy.
No offense to Alabama.
Easy, easy. No, I understand that. But, now, what's this thing coming out of the Middle East? We're going to arm people that were killing us because they've pinky sworn that they won't kill us anymore, and they'll kill the people who used to be their allies? Did you read that?
No, I didn't read that.
We are Alice through the looking glass. We are down the rabbit hole over there, and we don't have the first idea anymore of what we're doing.
Speaking of through the looking glass, if you go to the contact page on the iTex, you see a map of the whole world and this target site. I kid you not. And to find the contact emails and phone numbers and addresses, the target site locks in on the area.
Beep, 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 beep.
And then a missile comes right.
Are you sure this
right
is real?
Out at it.
Are you sure this is real?
I'm positive. I don't think we're supposed to be on the site because it's really buggy when you try to use a lot of the interface with it. And I think there's a login or anything. I don't think someone upgraded their security that well. But I mean, it is kind of fun just looking around if people want to go to it. It's idexuae.com, I believe. And just to look around. Well, not fun's subjective word, but the thing that's really interesting about the whole thing with this is that you get to see exactly what it is, what business people, what their what their culture and their conscience is like with each other, and you get to, a lot of the pictures you get to see. Oh, Bob, wait till you see the infomercial DVD. When I say that there's a palace there that the people they dine, and I mean it's like a whole different world. And then out back they have tanks running, and they're blowing up things with missiles. And I mean, if you want to see a water demonstration, hey, they got aircraft carriers in the water. You can see the missiles. You want to see a bomb demonstration, and it's just ridiculous. And the people that are going there, I mean, and just to see these people, you see this whole disintegrating of a mind too. Because I was looking at one in particular, and instead of a business suit, Bob, I kid you not, they were wearing camouflage business suits.
Like Armani, only in...
No, not like Armani, like telemarketing, boiler room type.
Polyester camouflage?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, fashion on parade.
And, I just think, again, I mean, people keep saying what it is, these international, they're never going to turn off the pipeline to this. This is the only way they can make money. This is it. This is the telemarketers. And if you see the movie Boiler Room, the movie with Al Pacino and about the real estate, the name slips me. Or
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah, Glengarry Ross. This is what you're looking at. They're over right now, and they go over there once a year. And if you really look at the goals and the lectures that they're talking about, you can basically see kind of like a blueprint coming together of what it is they want to do next. Always what it is they want to do next.
Well, I haven't quite entirely lost my ability to be surprised, but it's taken a pretty thorough beating over the last few years, David. And nothing.
I'll tell you why this surprises me is the fact that, you know, it's so out in the open, and so many people come. You would think that some of these people would be like, especially some of these generals, they would be looking around. I mean, in the 50s, I would think they would be, and they would be looking around and being like, what the heck? All of this? That means this is never. This means this is never going to stop. I mean, that was when you had maybe a. What is it, an Eisenhower-type perspective on the world. But I guess that's been lost forever.
Well, it may
and,
well have been.
Before I go, yes. I want to say, you remember you said it was wrestling?
Wrestling, yeah.
Yeah, it's worse than that. It's Ultimate Fighting pay-per-view.
Ew. All right, thanks so much, David. You have
All
yourself
right,
a great
later,
evening.
Bob.
Later now. And on to our good friend Susan in Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
On behalf of my cousin who can't be here because he's at work, about the gay bomb thing, I resent that. Cuz was one of the first couples who was married here in Portland when they said gay people could get married. But I really, really doubt if, in fact, I know I have yet to see him grab his partner and have wild sex in the middle of the street or anybody's house. That's just ridiculous.
Right, and that's at the heart of this, Susan, or is the assumption that, you know, if you're gay, you cannot control sexual urges.
And, you know, to top it all off, my cousin is also a monk.
Jeepers.
So, you know... He's not Catholic, by the way, but...
I wouldn't surprise... there are portraits... there are old portraits inside the church from, like, the 13th century that show a pair of male monks being married by another priest. It was...
But he's openly gay. He's out. You know, he's openly gay, so he can't very well be...
Right.
But, you know, I just... It just... The whole concept just offends me. Not just the fact that they're targeting people... who are gay. But also, that $7 million would have gone down real well in this Mississippi coast.
Well, you know, that's quite possible.
They could really use that money.
$7.5 million does a lot in a lot of places.
Yeah, especially if you're dirt poor like they are there.
Exactly. You know, $7.5 million in the lower Ninth Ward alone. It's not a lot, but it, you know, it's a few houses. It's a little work on the levee. But no, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and I can't, it goes without saying the guy who thought this up was a Republican. Had to be.
Well, moron. Oh wait, we're repeating ourselves. Oh, jeez.
I know. Somebody should take him out and thump him. But,
well, that's the one thing that doesn't come out of this story is it doesn't get a name attached to it. I guess that part was blacked out.
Whoever,
but that person probably still has a job.
Yeah. It's not so much, oh, by the way, you know, when you were mentioning the porn movies, it wasn't just the porn movies, dear. You remember a movie in the 60s called Barbarella?
Oh, gosh, yes. Jane Fonda was so hot in that.
I leave you to contemplate that. But anyway, as far as I'm concerned, the person who authorized this, if we can, we need to find out his name and splash it all over the internet.
Well, it should be. I don't think it's secret. This is the Air Force Weapons Technology Lab in maybe Dayton, Ohio, or some such.
Yeah, the commanding officer at the time was responsible. So let's just splash his name all over the place.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Susan, thank you very kindly.
You're more than welcome. You have a nice night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Now, let's see. It's about 5 minutes before the hour. We'll be going to a break here in a second because we got the news coming. After the top of the hour, when we come out of that news, we're going to be joined by a guest this evening. If you checked out the blog post there at headonradionetwork.com, you already know this. We're going to be joined by Lieutenant Eric Schein, just like it sounds. Lieutenant Schein is a graduate of the United States Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, New York, and he is a whistleblower. And he has been tormented, hounded, and bedraggled by the Bush administration for the fact that he dares to speak his truth, as is the case with most truth speakers these days. So that should be quite the fascinating conversation. He has a lot of information regarding our national security. You know, we went through the Dubai ports deal. And wait, the ports? Well, it's not just the ports. There are dirty, underhanded deals out there to take away American jobs and American security in cases of the Merchant Marine, where ships that had been American registry and flying the American flag have been transferred to foreign countries so that people who haven't yet figured out that they don't put U-Hauls behind hearses can make a lot more money. That's enough to make you scream. After that, of course, your phone calls are welcome. 304-658-5453 or toll-free 877-443-2366. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns is accusing Iran of helping Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan. He says Iran is transferring weapons to the insurgents. This is the first time a top U.S. official is accusing Iran of interfering in Afghanistan and contradicts comments made by Defense Secretary Gates and other top U.S. officials. Afghan police and U.S. forces exchanged fire early today when Afghan forces mistook a U.S. convoy for Taliban fighters. Eight Afghan policemen were killed and five others wounded during the attack. No Americans were reported injured. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte arrived in Iraq today to pressure the government to do more to improve its security forces and end sectarian violence. The Republican co-chair of the Iraq Study Group, published last December, say it may no longer be possible to withdraw U.S. combat troops from Iraq by March 2008, while former Secretary of State James Baker says the Bush administration appears to be moving toward more acceptance of the group's recommendations for disengagement. A newly released European study says the world's governments increased their military spending last year to $1.2 trillion. The U.S. alone spent $529 billion, mostly on the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Back here at home, saying the status quo is unacceptable, President Bush was on Capitol Hill today trying to persuade Republicans to move forward on immigration legislation he says will enforce U.S. borders and workplaces. Republicans opposing the bill say it amounts to amnesty for people who enter the country illegally. Without the bill, Bush says it's going to be harder to enforce the border. Republican Fred Thompson, who has yet to officially enter the 2008 presidential race, is second in line for the nomination, according to the latest Los Angeles Times Bloomberg poll. Thompson has 21% support, right after former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who has the first place lead with 27% support. On the Democratic side, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is the front runner with 33% support. Next is Illinois Senator Barack Obama with 22%. Former Vice President Al Gore, who has said he does not intend to run, is in third place with 15% support. A British newspaper reported that President Bush's watch was stolen from his wrist while he greeted cheering crowds in Albania over the weekend. White House spokesman Tony Snow explained the incident today, saying the president had taken it off and put it in his pocket. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News next.
To be or not to be.
Proficiency in reading and writing is a crucial connection to higher learning for both youth and adults. Without the foundation of basic English skills, access to education and employment is severely limited, if not impossible, for an estimated 40 million illiterate and semi-literate adults nationwide. If someone you know needs help in learning to read and write, there are local groups that can provide assistance without the threat of embarrassment. The Monterey County Free Library System offers unlimited one-on-one classes meant to help anyone at any proficiency level step over the language barrier. Weekly classes are held at several free library locations across Monterey County at no charge. For more information on Monterey County Free Library's Adult Literacy Program, call 424-3564. This message brought to you by the Quality News Network.
Federal health investigators are looking into whether water at the Camp Lejeune Marine Base in North Carolina was contaminated with toxins. Family members testified before Congress today about cancers and other illnesses they blame on the tainted tap water, which may have had toxins 40 times over what safety standards allow. Researchers say the melting snow atop Mount Kilimanjaro is likely not linked to global climate change. Tanzania's great mountaintop has been losing ice for over a century, and scientists say it's due to solar radiation since the air around the top is rarely above freezing. NASA says problems with a damaged thermal blanket on the space shuttle Atlantis will mean the astronauts' mission will be extended by 48 hours. The blanket was peeled back during the shuttle's launch on Friday. Forbes magazine reports CEOs and airline pilots are the only non-medical professions on their list of the top 15 highest-paid U.S. jobs. America's lowest-paying work can be found at fast food and moderately priced restaurants. Toyota has become the world's largest automaker, besting GM global sales by about 128,000 vehicles. GM has been the international leader in auto sales for the past 76 years. Light sweet crude oil has been trading above the $65 a barrel mark today, currently trading at $65.35 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 130 points at 13,295. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
We begin our second hour. We're going to have a conversation, as I said, with Lieutenant Eric Schein. He is a federal whistleblower. Among other things, he's being tormented under the Homeland Security's new Prevention Department. This is a rather amazing man. He's a graduate with honors from Kings Point, the United States Merchant Marine Academy. Oddly enough, Kings Point ranks higher than MIT for having graduates as CEOs and presidents of boards of corporations and such like. And Lieutenant Schein is in a unique position to tell us a little bit about the nature of our national security in terms of the shipping that comes into our country on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour basis. I think you're going to be fascinated with this conversation. Lieutenant Schein, are you there?
Yes, I am, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Yourself, sir?
Great.
Wonderful. I really appreciate you joining us. I was telling folks a little bit about your background prior to bringing you on the air. Tell us, if you would, please. I don't think a lot of people understand the structure of America's Merchant Marine. Can we start with that as background?
Yeah, I think it's important. We are truly constitutional officers, some of the very few ones that are left, especially with what's going on right now. But our founding fathers saw fit and gave us the right to get into the court system, not only in state court, federal district court. We even have original subject matter jurisdiction in circuit appellate, but also the Supreme Court, meaning we can file an original complaint in circuit appellate or Supreme Court regarding our shipping articles. And it was set up this way so that if we go overseas and we're away for say 10, 15 years, because you got to remember a lot of times you take off on a sailing ship and you could be literally gone for 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. You come back. And if you come home to a country that you do not recognize for whatever reason, you know, systems of due process and more, the Constitution, et cetera, that you could get into the court to, you know, if you found a need, especially in your own set of circumstances, get into the courts and, reinstitute the Constitution and systems of due process, separation of powers and more that we had established. Or that our founding fathers had established on our behalf. And what has happened is with privatization, outsourcing, all the games that are being played and have been played out over the last 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 years or more, we now sit in a position where the collective, the combine, the corporation, the group has rights, and the individual has none, which goes to collectivism. The Federal Officers Association has rights, even though it's a federal contractor. It's much like a police officers association. Almost, it has rights as an individual, as if it were a person. The corporations, the shipping companies, which are actually in this instance, they aren't just normal corporations. They sign what are called general agency agreements. They become an agency of the United States. The captain on board is a representative of the United States, as are the other officers. The captain, though, is also a representative not only of the United States, but also of the corporation. And now what has happened through administrative shenanigans that have been carried out using the Coast Guard and Homeland Security and more, and this has been going on for some time, the captain has also become the shipping commissioner. So he is the judge, jury, and executioner on the water once again, as we had 100, 150 years ago when we, you know, lost the rule of law for some reason and hopefully had regained it, to where now he could literally, if he wanted to, make us walk the plank. And we as individuals, even though, you know, I came out of Kings Point is the United States Merchant Marine Academy back in New York. It's a sister academy to West Point in Annapolis. I got a congressional nomination into the academy and appointment. Coming out of the academy, I not only have a dual lifetime appointments, congressional, but also presidential. I come out with a naval commission as a naval officer, And we as individuals now, even though our rights are constitutional in nature, they're not embedded or incorporated within the Bill of Rights. They're actually within the Constitution. We work on things called shipping articles that are valid articles of agreement with the United States. And if you think of what articles of impeachment are and how important they are, especially now, you realize the type and level of law that we work under and the level of protections, to the point that we have been considered and referred to as wards under admiralty to the courts and Congress, meaning that they're supposed to take special care of us as federal maritime officers, make sure that we can be heard. But what's going on is we can not only have our grievances heard on board, but they've set up these administrative, I guess, machinations or games or gamesmanship to block any and all grievances from being heard, and there's a reason for it that goes towards war profiteering, privateering, profiteering off of U.S. Treasury assets that these shipping companies and many of those that are involved with them and the United States Merchant Marine maritime industry, our ports, and even shipyards have been involved in, and to the point now where they're actually taking these enormous public trusts, the U.S. Merchant Marine itself, shipyards and more, and selling them off to themselves, first and foremost in this country, then overseas, just like they've carried out in many republics before.
And as a result of your talking about these things, you have, shall we say, incurred the wrath of the Bush administration. Is that correct?
Yes, I actually went into federal district court. It started in federal, it's state court in California, and federal district court eventually. It was removed. I went after the shipping companies, the federal contractors, the American President Lines, Matson, and more. Tried to actually expand it to all the shipping companies because I had realized that they were not only violating our shipping articles, but it got into QITAM or false claims or what they call Lincoln Law violations, federal contracting violations, on a grand scale, which eventually incorporated the Federal Officers Association, which they refer to it as a union, but it's not really a union. It's a it's more like a police officers association, but it's not even really that. It is itself a federal employer and federal contractor, much like Halliburton or KBR. They are paid to provide all of these things to us, like meals, due process. You can go down the whole long laundry list, even medical benefits and more. And what they have done is they have shut down the democratic institutions that we are allowed to provide. You know, they're actually paid to provide to protect us and allow us to protect ourselves. They basically held me in court for a couple years, roughed me up, played all kinds of games. Got one of the Coast Guard officers who's involved in the federal contracting scams, and also covering up safety violations and more for the shipping industry and a couple of the shipping companies like American President Lines, American Ship Management, Patriot Holdings, or Patriot Contract Services. And you think of Patriot, well, and then you start to marry the issue of the Patriot Act, and you start to see the gamesmanship, you know, that's going on behind the scenes and at a much higher level that all of this steps into, which is basically, you know, preparing us for war as they strip our country beforehand and then drive and basically drop us into a world war so that they can take out anyone who has the institutional knowledge or has figured out what they're up to, what they're doing. This Coast Guard officer eventually, after the shipping companies, Federal Officers Association, and others had roughed me up, played a bunch of games, he brings charges against me to shut me up and whitewash everything and charges me with, quote-unquote, being depressed.
Well, I was gonna get to that, Lieutenant Shine. You sound like a pretty informed...
Did I jump the gun on you there?
No, but you sound like a pretty informed, pretty upbeat, pretty knowledgeable... knowledge of things like clinical depression, I don't think you'd be able to do radio interviews if you were clinically profoundly depressed.
Well, see, the point is not to prove that I'm quote unquote depressed, which is what, you know.
But that you're medically incompetent.
Exactly. They're trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent. And, you know.
So do you still hold your commission?
Well, they've argued, and I agree that in these proceedings, I am and have been acting under the authority of my federal license and federal position. They've actually charged with my civil complaints. They've actually used my whistleblower letters to Congress and the Senate against me as evidence. They've used my civil complaints in federal district court and even circuit appellate against me as evidence.
Wait a minute. So it's evidence that you're mentally incompetent? They say, I'm trying to get this square in my own head. They say that the fact that you have complained is evidence of mental defect?
They're trying to say that they stepped on my civil complaints with an administrative counter-complaint under Article 2 proceedings rather than Article 3. Normally, they would, you know, following due process, they would have to go into civil court and file an amicus brief, you know, friend of the court brief, and saying, here, this is what's going on, and we're concerned, Judge, so we need you to go ahead and take these steps or measures to protect public safety. Instead, in violation of the separation of powers, they filed an Article 2 counter-complaint, an administrative counter-complaint, basically charging me with my own complaint, and then prosecuted me for those complaints so as to quash the civil complaints in an administrative sleight-of-hand fashion, you know, in violation of not only the separation of powers, but, you know, I can't even begin to tell you how many statutes and provisions that are there to protect us.
This is amazing.
So that they could cover up the federal contracting scam. And when you look deeper into a lot of the stuff that's going on, like people like Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist or former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, his family was involved in QITAM or QUITAM, false claims, Lincoln Law, federal contracting violations, much like is going on in the Merchant Marine, but his were more pointed at the medical profession. You know, he's a doctor, he's a Christian, supposedly. He's the same individual who believes that anyone 4 years and older should have mental health examinations.
I remember that.
For that, well, because he owns or owned two corporations.
Healthcare Corporation of America.
You got it.
Repeatedly busted for Medicare fraud, among other things.
You got it. HCA and Columbia. His brother and father had to pay back $1.7 billion to the U.S. Treasury, a fraction of what they stole. Bill Frist has been, you know, obviously benefiting from that trust that has been set up in the family name. And when his father died recently in the last few years, he went in, and as the Senate Majority Leader, when he was still acting Senate Majority Leader, he advocated to do away with the Paris Hilton tax or estate tax or death tax because his father had just died, and he was to inherit billions of dollars from his father's estate and trust that he didn't want to pay tax on.
Wow.
The most self-serving, conniving, unscrupulous robber barons, administrative pirates that this nation, let alone the world, has ever seen.
This is astonishing. And so you have seen this corruption.
I've confronted it, and they've come after me. They've actually used Homeland Security, which was created not by law but by executive order, to go ahead and come after me, to charge me, and hold on to me and detain me in these administrative basically they've carried on an administrative rendition.
How are you possibly defending yourself, Lieutenant?
Well, get this, and you'll love this, is they're forcing me to be my own counsel while they're trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent, and therefore all they would prove is that I had ineffectiveness of counsel. Even if I said, no, I want to defend myself, if they prove that I'm incompetent, I'm not competent to even make that decision, supposedly. These guys are, I'm telling you, they rule by ipso facto. They change the law after the fact, after they've broken it. And even Congress, you know, Specter, you can go down the whole long laundry list. They just want the president, executive branch, to tell them what laws they've broken or how they want it to change, so they can go ahead and change the laws to accommodate them rather than standing up to these guys and putting them, not just impeaching them, but imprisoning them and putting them away.
This is mind-boggling. I can't... How long did you serve actively with your commission before all this stuff began coming down the pike at you?
Well, we're in a very unique position because I come out of there, you know, working in as a United States Federal Maritime Officer. They basically treated us and tried to indoctrinate us and tell us that we're private contractors somehow, which we're not. You know, I can go into all the Suits and Admiralty Act of 1965, the Jones Act. There's a series of Merchant Marine Acts. The most infamous or famous is the Merchant Marine Act of 1920, which is considered the Jones Act. There's actually a string of laws. But the Merchant Marine Act of 1936 instituted my academy at King's Point. I graduated in 1991 from King's Point, coming out into the industry, and I noticed problems going on as a cadet while I'm on board working for these shipping companies that I'm embedded within to protect the country and the American people and the economy from labor racketeering, smuggling, insurance scams, and more. And what they've done is they've been taking us out and placing in people that not only didn't go to the state maritime academies, but didn't go to the maritime academies like my own, but are just, I mean, literally a lot of these people don't even have college degrees. They're elevating people with as little knowledge and education and training and experience as possible. So they're no longer really officers. They're more like just, you know, glorified mechanics who can't think critically or independently.
And so, in a way, that's the outsourcing of more American jobs, isn't it?
Well, this isn't just American jobs. These are federal and military. I'm a military officer also. I'm embedded in there so that if push comes to shove and we get into war or a national emergency, we have naval officers on board commercial vessels to liaison with the United States military and or Navy so that we can commandeer and use these vessels as we see fit.
Well, I know the Merchant Marine has a proud and noble heritage. You know, I think of what was it, the convoys across the North Atlantic in the Second World War.
We lost more people in the United States Merchant Marine, and it is a valid branch of service. It's considered the fourth arm of defense, and even Roosevelt, when he instituted the academy in 43 after Congress passed the law in 1936, he said that the King's Point would serve the United States Merchant Marine as West Point serves the military and as Annapolis serves the Navy. So it's pretty clear what the intent was there. I don't get $180,000 to a $300,000 education paid for by the federal government, U.S. taxpayer, for no reason.
Well, how many, just out of curiosity, for background's sake, Lieutenant Shine, How many people come out of King's Point in the average graduating class?
It's actually far less than any of the other academies. It's usually in the range of 200, 250, 300.
And if that's the case, what's happening with the rest of, say, you know, your graduating classmates? Are they just operating within the system, or already gone into private business, or?
Well, you bring up an important point. You have to remember, like, even with incidents like 9-1-1 and who carried that out and how they carried it out, and I don't want to get into any conspiracy theories on all that, but I do believe that there's a lot there that's still unanswered. But if you look further back at the Manhattan Project, it was not only a project to build a nuclear device, a bomb that could kill hundreds of thousands of people with, you know, one device. It was also a program of social engineering, because they actually built cities in, like, Tennessee of 55,000 people.
Oak Ridge, sure.
Yeah, governor of the state. They did it to suck off the Tennessee Valley Authority, the electrical power grid that had been set up there, because they needed it for power generation. And the governor of the state was not even aware that a city, 55,000 people, was built in his state. So when you think about that, and you think about the control and, you know, need-to-know basis and compartmentalization, if you can keep the construction of a 55,000-person city away from the governor of the state and all those people that work for him or for the people, what else could you create without people being wise to what's going on? And that's just a fraction of what went on with the Manhattan Project. And, I mean, that's not the only city. There was another one of 65,000, same thing. They had over 130,000 people that were told, look, you can't tell people that you're working with what you do. You can't talk about your job. You can go out and drink, have a good time, party. They actually literally built civilizations and studied human nature, and now they're taking that very same study, and they're applying it not only on the governmental side and the whole need-to-know national security, civil defense issue, and trying to, you know, keep information from the public so that we can make informed decisions, but also on the private side, on the corporate side.
Well, what does the private or privatization or the transfer of American flag shipping to other foreign nationalities, other sovereign nations, what does that mean for our national security, Lieutenant Shine?
Well, if you think of a, you know, forget, they can put out that all the suitcase nukes have been found and there's, you know, just pieces of them missing and whatever. One could still get, you know, out. Someone could still construct a smaller nuke. There are nukes other than the suitcase nukes, like the ones they use for satellites and stuff in Russia. And a lot of this stuff went up for sale, you know, after the fall of the Soviet Union on the black market. And there's a lot of people there with money, and you can point to, quote-unquote, the Middle East and these terrorists and whatever, but there's a lot of private interests who have a lot to gain from war and warfare and, you know, can build a device like this. But you don't even have to go that far, because you could use a dirty bomb. You could use, like, an LNG, a liquefied natural gas carrier, that they want to start bringing into the United States and use foreign flag, foreign officers under foreign control, where the taxes and much of the revenues go out of the country to feed our need for energy. When these liquefied natural gas carriers blow, you know, and they do, they've had one or two casualties, I think, worldwide in the history. They've actually had a pretty good safety record. But when they blow, they wipe out a small city. It's like a strategic nuke going off. And when you think about it, that's one incident as to safety and more. But when you think of the Exxon Valdez and what happened there, where you could set up an economic disaster, you know, the California is the fifth largest economy in the world. At some point, if you had an Exxon Valdez type incident in, say, Seattle, Portland area, and or San Francisco, or L.A., you could do such economic disaster, injury to the country, that it would take years, if not decades, for us to recover from.
And this is, you know, this is profoundly disturbing stuff, Lieutenant Shine, because I hearken back to the great Dubai ports deal.
Right.
And we were concerned with our national security there and the idea of a foreign national controlling our ports. But of equal import in all of this is foreign nationals controlling what had once been our own merchant marine.
Our fisheries and our water. I mean, they're trying to use even things like the Discovery Clause to plant their flag, corporate flag, on things like DNA.
You know, well, we say they and there. Who are they, Lieutenant Shine?
A lot of these don't. Appointed royal families that go way back that want to impose or continue to impose a system of feudalism, which is, you know, ruled by select or royal family. You know, you could throw out names, Rockefeller, Morgan, you know, even a descendant of J.P. Morgan is involved in my own situation. I'm trying to think of a bunch of the different names and people that are involved, but if you start to look into even some of the quote-unquote secret societies, like the Federalist Society, this just came out in the Gonzalez hearings in Congress about, you know, one of the criteria when the 8 U.S. attorneys were fired and others were decided to be, you know, helpful.
Membership in the Federalist Society, sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you look deeper into what that is, it's a secret society.
Well, it's certainly a fraternity of right-wing... I consider them crypto fascists.
They're central planners.
But what about foreign governments?
American President Lines, which used to be our premier flag carrier, that used to name all of its vessels after American presidents. The president, you know, APL President Taft, APL President Truman, APL President Harding, APL President Roosevelt, and more. Now names all of its vessels after APL China, APL Guam, APL Singapore, APL Taiwan, and more. It was sold in 1997, and many of these robber barons were involved in this. They're doing the same thing with the Dubai ports deal and Halliburton moving to Dubai and more. They sold American President Lines to Neptune Orient Lines, which is a known, you know, pirate capital and has been for quite some time, like Liechtenstein and Switzerland and Dubai and more, they sold it to Neptune Orient Lines, which is owned and controlled majority stake by the Singaporean government. And now the Chinese are pushing APL to put as many Chinese federal officers on board their vessels.
Well, what sway would the Chinese government have with the Singaporeans?
They're this huge behemoth right up on their northern border.
Ah, sure.
Yeah, that's like, what sway would we have with Mexico or Canada?
Or,
no, I mean, even you've seen what's going on with NORAD and more, and our, you know, they want to set up the FBI and Star Wars program and everything else.
So you've got a Singaporean shipping line that used to be a Great American shipping line.
Right.
That
well,
is...
No, it's not just, it's basically like an international right-of-way or a bridge. It is our land bridge, quote-unquote, to other civilizations and societies. And what they've done is they haven't only privatized it, put it into their own hands. They've privatized it, put it in, and then moved it outside of the country to escape labor laws, regulations here in the United States, rule of law under our flag.
Unionization, union collective bargaining agreements.
Well, in my situation, that's kind of different because the Federal Officers Association is a federal contractor. It's owned and controlled by the United States, the shipping companies, and they allow the mob to basically run it, criminals and more, because they're using it to suck off of these enormous federal trusts that have been set up. What they do is go into Congress and lobby for a certain statute or law that will provision certain things in the United States Merchant Marine, banning building ships, Title 11 loans. Clinton was real big on this and actually did a lot of increase in use of for capitalization improvements, like actually building ships. So they would get low-interest loans to build ships here in the United States. But what they've done, much like with Chrysler and Chrysler-Benz or Daimler-Benz, we paid for, as the U.S. taxpayers, under Iacocca, to resurrect this company, put it in good health, and then sell it off and give it to the Germans.
Well, I understand what you're talking about. It's a smaller scale, but we used a lot of taxpayer money to put a water system in here through the mountains here in West Virginia.
Right.
And turned around, and the minute it was done, we sold it to West Virginia American Water Company, which is a subsidy of American Water, which is owned by the Germans and through a holding company that's English. I understand exactly what you're talking about there.
But now you touch on the bigger issue, which is, you know, we effectively won the war, so to speak, World War II, but lost the battle because Martin Bormann, who was executive director for Adolf Hitler, he outsourced over 750 corporations before the empire fell. They basically became a bunch of Trojan horses, moving capital and resources and people and technology and infrastructure out into the world, and now they're using all of those things that have been set up. And you think 50 years is a long time. It's really not when you look, you know, back.
No, it's not. I think about IG Farben, among other organizations that was
Brown
run.
Brown Brothers Harriman, Kuhn and Loeb, Warburg, and all these guys that are just like Carlyle and what Carlyle has become now, to where Carlyle is basically buying up military industrial complex assets and selling them off or spinning them off or vertically integrating them and increasing the value through wars and rumors of war. They're buying shipyards, San Francisco Dry Dock, General Dynamics. You can go through the whole long laundry list of all the things, CSX, Rail and Shipping Company, that Secretary of the Treasury or former Secretary of the Treasury John Snow was CEO and president of.
Exactly.
He's deeply involved in much of this. Andrew Card, former Secretary of Transportation under the first Bush, he went to my academy, to King's Point. He's involved in all this. The Federalist Society, Ted Olson, you can go down the long street list of these robber barons, these pirates, these liars, cheats, and thieves.
So, Lieutenant Shine...
I'm sorry to be so like, you know, blunt about it.
No. I got no problem with blunt. I have a little bit of a detective's interest in finding a motive. Is it just the simple urge for cash? Or does it go deeper? Is this? I mean, is it about money? Is it about power? Is it a combination of these things?
It's all that and more. I mean, they really want to have a one-world government. They want to convince people who aren't that smart, who can't apply critical thinking, that no, it is eventually better, and that it's in the short term, but for everyone, if we're all on the same page somehow, that it will be better if we have, you know, quote-unquote, one-world government. They don't care about nation. They don't care about people. They don't care about flag. They obviously don't care about rule of law. They will use and abuse the American people just like they did to the Germans, just like they did to the Russians. They're doing the same thing now here in America, and they're going to move on, and they're already doing it. Basically, the United States is sitting in the same position that Germany was in World War II, and now China is somehow, I mean, look, there's people out here that are looking to China and Russia to help save us from what's going on in our own country. That's absurd.
Well, it is absurd because, if you read some of the, what little, China is still very much a closed society. They've gone more and more sort of fascist capitalist in their approach to the rest of the world, but much of what we don't know much of what we wish we knew about China, but the stuff that leaks out, for instance, about their persecution of the Falun Gong.
But it's a satellite country of the United States and of empire, and even of the British. It has been for some time, just like Cuba, just like most of Africa. Most of these countries have been set up with puppet governments, and now you see we have a puppet government here in the United States. We are a banana republic. You know, United Fruit, which became Chiquita, has been nailed recently for a $25 million fine, I think, for paying terrorists down in Central and South America for doing what it's been doing for 50 years or more, and doing what Negro Ponte was doing in Central America with the School of the Americas.
Union busting.
Exactly.
Right.
Killing priests, nuns, teachers, anyone who would support, protect, defend the public interest, the public health, the public welfare, the public themselves, help trust, anything that's held by the public, the people. And that's what this is. This is a battle of private interest, private trust against the public and public trust.
Not so much privateers, but profiteers, huh?
Both. One and the same.
Yeah. What is your next move? What happens to Lieutenant Shine next? What's the status of these proceedings?
I'm acting like, Paul Revere, and as they continue to play games with me, speak out and try to inform people and tell them that this is gravely serious and that, just like... Pastor Martin Niemöller, Dr. Martin Niemöller in Nazi Germany, who tried to warn the German people and who stood against the Nazi regime, first they came for the Social Democrats, and I was not a Social Democrat, so I didn't say anything. Then they came for the Catholics, and I was not a Catholic, so I didn't say anything. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I was not a trade unionist, so I didn't say anything. And then it goes down to the gypsies and the Jews, and then finally when they came for him, there was no one left to say anything.
Right.
It's going on again, and people need to confront it wherever it rears its ugly head, stop it, and take out any and all those individuals who are involved in this and remove them from public life. I mean, and when I say public life, I mean, like, they shouldn't be involved in a corporation. Guys like Tommy Thompson, he's running for president right now. He's involved in much of this. So is Duncan Hunter. Tommy Thompson was the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. He moved out and started to work for Verichip, and he's the individual who wants to go ahead and have all of us chipped.
Well, among other things, I remember, I believe it was Tommy Thompson, who, when he left office, said, it's a wonder to me the terrorists haven't hit our food supply yet. You remember when that happened?
Yeah.
It was like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, more fear for the American people. What happens to you if the government prevails, Lieutenant?
Well, they're again trying to. They've already proven, supposedly, without a hearing, without proper evidence, they falsified, stolen medical records, falsified them. Wouldn't allow me into a proper hearing. It's been 4 years now. No witnesses. I filed their own witness list back at them. Realizing the games that were afoot. So that I would actually actually get the witnesses in there and then go ahead and cross-examine them. They went ahead and fought and struck their own witness list, so there's no witnesses against me. I mean, these guys are complete morons. And they're running our government.
But they sound like morons with the force of law behind them, and that's what's disturbing here.
No, it's the color of law. There's a difference.
Okay.
And as long as we stand and allow them to do it, we are all complicit in what is going on and what will happen if this is not confronted. You know, there's, I don't know how many different texts out now on impeachment. If you just look at the number of books that are out about the Constitution and impeachment and patriotism and our founding fathers, I mean, anyone who looks back at this time in history could say, look, there's plenty of people saying things, speaking out, complaining, warning and telling people that they must act, they must become informed, and they must do something now or forever hold their peace, because this is, you know, I hate to say it, the final battle or globalization or whatever, that if this is not put down, this program of complete fascism, corporatism, feudalism, you know, rule by self-appointed royal family, civilization will never be the same.
Well, there's a lot of people listening to you right now, Lieutenant Schein. What would you want of them?
Well, first and foremost, you need to move to defend people like myself and others, you know, like Lieutenant Watata. You can go down the whole list of individuals that are out there, whistleblowers and more, who are coming under intense attacks. They need to get heard. People need to help disseminate the information, protect these individuals. I can't get a lawyer. I've been trying to get a constitutional or admiralty general maritime lawyer that can help defend me. Problem is they keep trying to force counsel upon me, who's a risk manager for the shipping companies and the Federal Officers Association, who are involved in all the federal contracting schemes.
And you have no confidence in that person or them?
No, because they're working for the other side. They're helping trying to cover up the federal contracting scheme.
Well, that's like having a lawyer from an insurance company defending you. They're going to defend the insurance company's interest and not yours.
Right, exactly. And they have these protection indemnity insurance clubs that are set up for that, and they're huge. They have huge corporate interests. And it is to the point where all of these large, I don't know if you remember, there's a ruling back when, I'm trying to think, I think it was in the 50s or whatever, that basically said, it might have been in the 60s, was about that a corporation could be considered as an individual.
Oh, this could, that goes back to the 19th century, sure.
Okay, and what it is, though, it's not that it could be treated as an individual like it was a citizen and it had the rights of a human being or citizen. It's that, no, you could have a group of people that rather than being treated individually as a group of people or collectively as a person or you know, as people, it could be treated as a corporation, as a single entity, not a single individual. You know, that term individual, and that's where people need to be very careful in the use of words.
No, but, the Supreme Court in the late 19th century, I believe, I've read the case, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And the thing is, it's via a footnote. It's only dictum. It is not, settled law.
Exactly.
It's not a finding, but it took on the effect of law and created what is referred to as corporate personhood, and opened the wide panoply of American civil rights jurisdiction to American corporations. Most people don't know, Lieutenant Schein, that the vast majority of civil rights litigation filed in this country every year isn't filed by people who have been discriminated against in housing or denied entry to a Denny's or something. It's filed by corporations claiming that they have been deprived of due process or equal protection or First Amendment. When we tried to get some reasonable election finance reform through, the primary claim was that corporations would be deprived of their right to First Amendment political speech if we deprived them of the right to utterly pollute our political process with their filthy money.
Right, and that filthy money, dead presidents, have more right to be heard and more right for protection somehow than the live, living citizens of this country who, you know, supposedly are supposed to be protected by the rule of law.
In many ways, Lieutenant Schein, we are behind the eight ball on this because they have the corporate America has available to it the protections and privileges contained in the Bill of Rights, and they also have vast amounts of resources so that, for instance, as we saw in the early 90s, if you actually get a governmental attempt to bring universal health care to Americans, that the insurance industry, corporate persons, down to the last one, will bring to bear billions of dollars to create bogus commercials where people talk about, well, you won't be able to go to your own doctor no more. And we can't fight that kind of speech unless we leverage something like the Internet, well, the blogosphere, as you are trying to do.
Well, even in my own situation, think about it. They've violated my rights to privacy and privilege. There's cases that go up to the Supreme Court. It's Jaffe v. Redmond or Redmond v. Jaffe, because it bounced back and forth a couple of times, and the litigants switched places on which side of the verse that they were on. And what it goes towards is that your medical rights, your medical records are supposed to be private and privileged, just like attorney-client, and that you can't, it's not an issue of opting out, that you can't violate, because anything that's constitutional or statutory, like if you and I want to come to an agreement to break the law, we can't do that.
No, we cannot. And by the same token, one person may not waive his right not to be a slave. One cannot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what's going on with the changes in the bankruptcy laws. Citibank has been behind that and a lot of other corporations. I mean, they don't, a lot of these people, they think that they're going to be safe somehow because they're sitting up in the rafters looking down on the rest of us as we're all being enslaved. I mean, literally 50% of the people that are in bankruptcy now are due to a medical catastrophe.
I understood, I mean, it was closer to 70%, but yes.
Yeah, talk about Tom Thumb. I mean, come on. Dickens, if he were alive, he'd be having a field day with this.
Well, and please bear in mind, when you talk about are in bankruptcy because of medical disasters, these are people who had insurance, Lieutenant Shine.
Doctors, lawyers, it's the scientists, yeah, engineers. These
it's
are
the
not
co-pays.
Like,
it's the $500,000 co-pays, for the love of God, that are driving them into bankruptcy. Not the whole bill.
But they're taking the public trust, all of them. And I mentioned, I talked to you, I think, about the London Bridge House Trust. Probably the perfect example of how a public trust, like a bridge. See, Social Security is not necessarily the best example of a public trust or how it's supposed to work. Because it's a huge kitty. It's like taking gold and putting it in a fort somewhere, like Fort Knox, maybe, and saying, oh, well, we need everybody's gold. We're going to stash it here. We're going to store it and keep it safe for everybody. We need to do this as the national security, civil defense. Well, check it out. Our gold reserve has not been audited since 1958, and that audit was partial. So at some point, the 366,000 gold bars of bullion that we supposedly have on reserve there, our gold reserve, just like our water reserve or national strategic oil reserve, has never been properly audited. They should be auditing that thing every year, fully, completely.
Sure, and George Bush shows up at the Bureau of the Public Debt in Parkersburg, West Virginia, looks at a filing cabinet and says, it's just a bunch of worthless IOUs.
Right. The national strategic oil reserve is something that people need to be digging into deeper because Teapot Dome involved that, and I think it was
the Harding administration.
Sorry?
The Harding administration.
Yeah. Well, it was like in the late 1910s into the 1920s and really came to head in 1922. And Teapot Dome was the number one oil well at Elk Hills, California. It was the 13th most productive well in United States history, and is still up there and still producing. It's part of the National Strategic Oil Reserve that was set up for the Navy and for defense. They've been using it as a slush fund that blows away anything like Iran-Contra, to where they've been using this to fund black ops, sell it on the spot market, have this huge reserve, and it goes to even having a military reserve, is that at some point when you have these reserves, when you have these things in place and in position, they become a target for pirates and thieves.
Well, it's you think about the Social Security monies, and it's like leaving a big bag of money laying on the sidewalk and expecting thieves to walk by it every day, and being surprised that one day the thief goes, "I'm taking it." I mean, that's what's happened.
Yeah, and most thieves are opportunists, and think of the opportunity that we have provided those that we have entrusted to not only control and rule and oversee our industries, corporations, and more. And you can look back through history to see good examples of that, whether it be Rockefeller or Morgan or, you know, Getty, et cetera. At some point, the very same thing that was going on in the late 1800s with the robber barons and even part of our, you know, our Civil War, because if you think of our Federal Reserve System, the Federal Reserve Act, our system of currency, think of all the money that was generated by use of currency and within our fiscal system, our monetary system, our system of currency and more actually went into the public trust, actually went into public, you know, the U.S. Treasury and was used for construction projects or roads or bridges or internet or, you know, even Milwaukee, I think it was one of the few cities that tried to build its own intranet as a public utility, and the private interest went after it.
I know, and and those of us familiar with history of Congressman Dennis Kucinich know that when he was the mayor of Cleveland, he was strong-armed by the banking interests to privatize the Cleveland Municipal Power and Light Company. It was his resistance to doing so that led to the bankruptcy of the city of Cleveland, for which you know, the right wing constantly says, he bankrupted Cleveland. But the fact of the matter is, they've still got that publicly owned power and light company,
that utility or whatever.
Well,
even Ron Paul has come out now, and it blew me away that this actually came out of his mouth, because he seems to be pretty right on in many regards. Is he's for privatization of just about everything? And there's certain things that, like the military, should not be privatized. Water should not be privatized. Even energy should not be privatized. Transportation.
There are 60,000. There are 60,000 gun-toting thugs who are mercenaries in Iraq right now who answer to no general and serve under no flag.
Which is all hooey, because they do, and they do come under the law, under federal contracting law. They have to abide by the law. It's just that these guys won't enforce it. They're using it as an excuse for them to escape the law.
So if you could enumerate your wish list, Lieutenant Schein, where does the remedy begin?
Nationalizing the war-making machine, ASAP, Blackwater, all these companies, if they want to provide military services, then they need to be taken into, assumed, and taken over by the government. They need to be nationalized.
What about impeachment?
Absolutely. And beyond that, imprisonment. I mean, and not just, see, people don't realize that Hitler didn't rise to power on his own. He was actually put in place and held in place by a lot of little Hitlers.
Sure.
That's what they're doing. Is it goes to the rule of the capo, which is, you know, mafia. It's Rome, you know, Italy, you know, and even the gulag, the labor and detention camps and death camps in Nazi Germany. What they do is they take a prisoner who is the most self-serving, ruthless, unkind, uncaring, unintelligent individual they can find, and they put him up as trustee over all the other prisoners. And what he does is he abuses them, keeps them in check, rapes, pillages, burglarizes, takes everything and anything from them that he wants as extra privileges. The Gestapo trained these trustees or these capos in the prison camps, and that's what they're doing here. And at some point, people need to go after every single one of these, you know, crooks, and confront them and remove them from the public and private debate so that they don't have a voice, they don't even have a faith, that at some point they are ostracized from civilization, from society, because they are, and this is a misdemeanor, if not a high crime, disturbing the peace is a crime. And when Lieberman opens his mouth and says we need to attack Iran, he's disturbing the peace, and he should be put in jail by a sheriff.
Well, I tend to think he should be put in a rubber room and given a purple crayon to write on the wall with his toes.
Well, but, yeah, and I'm sure there'd be a color fest if a lot of others were thrown in there with him with a bunch of Crayolas. But
I'm of the opinion, Lieutenant Schein, that we are in a terrible, terrible, terrible mess. And
but the more people open their mouth, confront these people, learn who and what they are, and speak the truth, because the truth is like a sword, and it takes these individuals out. Light is the is the best disinfectant to you know, rid us of these vermin from civilization, because the end game is world war. That's what they want. That's what they're driving us for. That's what they're preparing. That's why they do things like out here in L.A. They just appointed an admiral, retired admiral, 35-year federal pension, high-dollar pension. Not only did he steal a position from people that should have earned that, who were working their way up in the education industry or field, that would have looked, you know, to that as the golden ring or brass ring that they could have sought to aspire to. They took that away from all those people, put this guy in who doesn't need the money, doesn't need the pension, and he's ex-military, ex-federal, ex-naval. You know, I think he's an admiral from Military Sealift Command. And if you look at Military Sealift Command, it's been one of the biggest collective combines that's been stuffing money in holes and stealing it and passing it to themselves overseas.
Well, what does it say to you, just out of curiosity, what does it say to you that the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be an admiral during a time when we're supposedly engaged in a land war in the Middle East?
That he's breaking down any and all separation of powers. He's trying to piss off naval officers. Like right now in the Fifth Fleet, in the Gulf, he's got a King Pointer in charge of the Fifth Fleet. And to me, that would be a slap in the face for anybody that went to Annapolis. And I mean, King Pointer, the academy I went to, is an excellent institution. And we do come out and we have been, considered as the best sailors out there. I mean, even better than Annapolis. Not only our sailing squadron at the academy, but we train on vessels, you know, 6 months of our sophomore year and 6 months of our junior year. We take what is normally, like for an engineer like myself, a program that is normally completed in 4.5 to 5 years, make it applied, condense it into 3 years, and then do, training at sea as cadets, midshipmen, 6 months of our sophomore year and 6 months of our junior year. So it's a highly accelerated program. These people that come out of there are not stupid. We are the best and the brightest, you know, supposedly the cream of the crop. But at some point, so are the grads from Annapolis. And, you know, putting a King's Pointer in charge of all these Annapolis grads can't sit well with all those, you know, Annapolis grads. And so any way and every way and all these little games that they're playing, he can break down not only the separation of powers, but also anger people as much and as often and in every way and any way as possible. Because I throw out the example that, you know, the American people and even Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan understood this well. If you're going to launch a foreign adventure, foreign war, the best way to marshal your troops, marshal your citizen soldiers, marshal your people is to attack them yourself. And that's exactly what's going on here in the United States with class warfare. The quote unquote ruling, controlling elite, these robber barons, these self-appointed royal families, are coming after and attacking the American people, just like a jar of bees, where the bees are the American people and the hand on that jar is the proverbial hand of the corporations and or government, and they're shaking that jar of bees, trying to get us all agitated and angry in every way imaginable, so that we're stinging each other accidentally and intentionally inside the jar, and when they go ahead and take the jar off and throw us at something, doesn't matter what it is, a small baby, we'll sting the hell out of it and try to kill it.
Sure. Sure.
And that, I mean, seriously, that is exactly what is going on. It is the game to tear down civilization. It is the game to tear down a republic. It is the game to take all of the public trust, all of those things that our forefathers died for, shed their blood for. It doesn't matter from what country you came from. And you can look to China, Japan. The Japanese paid a high price here in the United States during World War II. Over 100,000 were stuck in internment camps here in the United States just because of, you know, their race.
Right, right.
Not that they had done anything wrong. Not that they had broken any law, rule, or regulation. Not that they were...
No, they were just born Japanese.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I find it, this concept of everything being leveraged for the purpose of literally setting the planet on fire with world war is something I have not, frankly, heard. And I find it a compelling argument, but what a nightmare. What a nightmare, Lieutenant Shine.
Well, it is, and to bear that burden and to try to tell people and warn them, because I've seen too much. I mean, the things that we're afforded, not only the education, the training, I've been all over the nation, all over the world. My level of experience, you know, is probably pales in comparison to many others. But from what I've seen, not only in the outs, but shutting down Pearl Harbor, shutting down Long Beach Naval Shipyard, trying to give that to Costco, the stuff going on with the canal, even the trying to think of the name of the Hutchinson Wampo. The head of Hutchinson Wampo is the second in command of the People's Liberation Army, which is the right-wing radical military arm of the Chinese government.
Holy cow.
President Bush is trying to turn our port security and our container cargo inspections over to, in addition to land and resources.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah, wait, whoa. Some of this stuff, you got to bear in mind, Lieutenant Shine, you know. I don't.
Yeah.
We
right.
don't. You just said that the Bush administration is trying to turn over port security to a radicalized arm of the People's Red Army.
Yes, if you look into Hutchinson Wampo and who controls it, the second in command of the PLA, which is the People's Liberation Army, it's the radical right wing. It's the military side, the angry defense side of the Chinese government. Hutchinson Wampo, Bush was trying to cut deals with it to have it inspect our container cargo. China inspects 100% of their cargo. We inspect less than 1%. There's something wrong there. War on terror, terrorism, all these boogeymen, as they open up the gate and let in the Trojan horses. And I'm not talking about a Trojan horse. I'm talking about one. Carol C.
You're Lance, talking about a herd.
Yeah, no. And we're helping them bring them in. Carol C. Lam, one of the eight U.S. attorneys that was recently fired, born and raised in China. She grew up, I think to 8 years old, moved over here. But, you know, you could say, well, she's Chinese, but she's an American now. She's an immigrant. No, because she's acting against the Constitution. She actually filed motions in my own case seeking the divine right of kings, sovereign immunity, and also qualified judicial immunity for executive officers. She's now fled, you know, under the smoke screen that she's been fired somehow to a company called Qualcomm in San Diego.
Oh, sure.
That is and has been abusing HB1 visas as if they are candy going out of style.
And the HB1 visa is the special permit process that allows foreign technological workers in. Is that correct?
Right, like engineers, software engineers from India and more. They've been trying to set up companies like C-Code, which is basically a vessel, a cruise ship that's been converted and is now basically a floating factory to run software engineers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, three shifts a day, 8 hours each, 7 days a week, off the coast in international waters because Silicon Valley, the execs from Silicon Valley don't like the flight to India. So they're willing to go ahead and set up floating slave ship off of our coast in violation of the Constitution, in violation of the Geneva Conventions, in violation of international law, to get around labor laws here, and to literally run slave ships like the Chinese have done with their fishing vessels for quite some time. And even the Japanese are pretty good with their merchant marine. They realize the importance of it. They've been a seafaring people for a very long time, and they've actually done a pretty good job, better than most, of protecting it. We, on the other hand, are being played the fool. Alfred Thayer Mahan, one of the individuals we had to study at the academy from the late 1800s, I advise people to look him up. He gets into projection of power and sea power, and he basically said, a commercial vessel or commercial fleet goes out for trade, transportation, commerce, and the deep water navy or the military usually follows if the fleet comes under attack and it's out there to protect it. And what's happened and what's going on is that now not only have we given China the reason to build a large deep water navy, which is what they're doing, but we've given them the means and then deprived ourselves of the means so that we don't have that. 97% of our cargo is now carried by foreign flag vessels. Think of that. Who's in control of it? Under what law? Under what flag? Under what, we cannot go on board. And that's why the Coast Guard now, they're trying to set up Admiral Loy, Admiral Collins and a bunch of others, they've set up this corporation. It's called Integrated Coast Guard Systems, and you can see what fascism really is, because it's the Coast Guard working hand-in-hand with this Integrated Coast Guard Systems company or corporation, that they're trying to literally create an international maritime police or Intermarpol, much like Interpol in Europe, so that we are the world police for the ocean somehow.
Oh, my God. This is like stuff out of a science fiction novel, but unfortunately, I fear it's all too true.
Well, just do the research. You don't believe me?
No. I do. I do. I'm not questioning your veracity at all. It's just, it seems like every day brings a stunning new assault on everything that I hold dear about my country, Lieutenant.
Right.
And I don't like it. And sometimes that's why I asked you a bit ago, what can people do? Because when people hear this kind of thing and they think that there's nothing they can do, it is among the most disempowering thing in the world.
Well, that's what they want. They want you to think, to the point of, this will blow your mind. Skunk Works, which we all know what Skunk Works is, right?
Sure, right.
It does all the research for aircraft and more.
Yeah, these are the guys that came up with the F-117A and that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Right. Well, guess what? They're also working on some programs like dirigibles or Zeppelins or lighter than aircraft using helium. And guys like Congressman Christopher Cox, I can go into what he's up to, and now he's in charge of the FCC, and how he was involved in selling the helium stash, like gold reserve, that they found. He worked across both aisles to sell it to private interests, did such a good job of it, and I guess spreading out the dole, that they appointed him in charge of the SEC so that he could help there and do the same thing that he did with this stash of helium. Well, the helium is used for special weapons programs and also for lighter than aircraft. They're actually designing and have built and constructed several craft that they're like Zeppelins, but they're way advanced. I mean, these things are unbelievable. They funded these about 10, 15 years ago. It was $700 million in the works and another $700 million to complete the first ship, I think, and it ran over that. They're building these vessels that have an active matrix screen so that just like in World War One or World War Two, they used to paint the underbelly of planes.
Yeah.
So that if you looked up in the blue sky, you get a plane with a light blue belly, and it would make it harder for you to pick it out as it's going overhead and shoot it down. Well, they do the same thing now, much like the Predator, that one movie with Schwarzenegger,
mm-hmm.
where they have this technology. And if you think about it, it's not real complex. They could take TV screens, advanced TV screens.
Yeah, big jumbotrons.
Right. And where you look and actually look up and see the vessel, what it does is it uses computers to analyze where you're at and what you would see if you were looking up and there was no vessel there. It goes ahead and projects that on the side of the hull. So when you look up, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to detect that the vessel's there.
Just like capturing a little piece of pigment in, say, Photoshop.
Right.
And
all of a sudden painting out the,
Yeah.
Right.
Except
this is real time. This is real, with enormous aircraft. And you look at some of the dirigibles, like the Zeppelins and more, like the Graf Zeppelin, our dealings with Goodyear, Goodrich and the Zeppelins and more, and how the corporations were working both sides of the aisle before the war broke out and basically sharing technology back and forth to level the playing field, basically trying to set, carrying on that human race of sorts, setting mankind against his own kind, not only to build enormous pools of resources, coal, lumber, steel, Humvees or Jeeps or whatever, tanks, technology, resources, and more that sit in these large vats or pools of resources that they then own and control and that we've all built under slave-like conditions thinking that we need to, for patriotism, be part of this system and win the war for the flag and country and nation. They're playing us all to fool.
Lieutenant Shine, one of the things that bothers me most out of all of this is an ongoing debate that seems to be a running theme in this program, and that is whether the Bush administration and the right-wing thugs that surround it, whether they are evil geniuses or common dumbass street punks. And I keep coming down on dumb street punk because You paint this very plausible scenario by which they are trying to slowly goad us into worldwide war, which is worldwide profit for them. Sure, I buy that 100%. But, you know, there's a fundamental difference between now and 1940.
Yeah, you know when they bombed Dresden, bombed it, they held it? One of the few buildings that was left standing was Paul Warburg's building there.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and think about it. Back then, if they could do that, and sure, it was coincidence, and that's just kind of odd and, you know, whatever.
But what I'm getting at, the difference, though, is that in 1940, we had a vast network in this country of steel mills. Manufacturing base. That's all gone.
So did Germany before the war. And one of the things, and that was the same thing here in the United States, was there, I mean, and you could see testimonials from individuals on even the History Channel. They said, don't let this happen to you. And this was prior to World War II. Don't let them take our manufacturing away. Because that's exactly what they're doing. And what they do is...
I'm getting at, Lieutenant Shine, we can't fight a world war. We are incapable of fighting a world war right now. The reason that George Bush told us to go shopping on 9/11 is because we can't do anything else. We are nothing but a hive of consumers.
Right.
Our tool and die industry is gone. Our steel industry is gone.
Rubber, energy, everything has been sold off. Who owns and controls the majority of our industries and technology?
Yeah, what's left of it, but most of it's already gone overseas.
ICANN, which is the International Corporation of Addresses, Names, and Numbers, I think that's the acronym. It's ICANN. It's ACANN. You have to look up what the acronym stands for, but I think that's what it is. It's the internet. It's where you go to register your names, numbers, and addresses for the internet. It's now a Belgian company. Well, we created the internet. Well, what happened to it? It got sold. Chrysler. And we see how it's kind of getting split off now, and you know they want to sell it off, and some holding group, much like similar to Carlyle, wants to purchase it. But the Germans purchased it. T-Mobile, which is your cell phone here in California and throughout the nation, you know, one system of them, is owned by a German company that's owned and controlled by the German government.
It's astonishing. I'm sitting here looking at an email I got from a friend who works with steel a lot. He's a master welder, I believe. All the certifications and everything. And he alerted me to the fact that steel is made in China that winds up in the United States marked product of the USA.
Yeah, there's a place in China. It's called USA. I'm not joking.
Oh, my God.
So they can stamp it USA, but it's not really United States of America. It's USA.
This particular individual, and I'm going to keep him anonymous, had sent me photographs of Chinese pipe that had burst in a power plant in northern China, killed two, injured several others, and went on to tell me that these products are making it to our country now, and it's
not even to our country. They're going into the military supply chain. When I worked for General Electric, we had to go through on naval combatants' vessels, steam turbines and more, and go end for end all the equipment because Chinese-made factors had made it into the supply chain where unscrupulous federal contractors had sold them to the United States that were substandard. They would not have the proper yield strength. They did not have the proper tensile strength. They did not have the proper materials composition and more. And we had to spend a ton of money and time going back and checking all this stuff. Just think if we missed one bolt.
Oh, I know.
If we go to war.
Yeah. It reminds me of, these were desperate. These were desperate efforts in desperate times. But it I'm sure you're familiar as a seafaring man. You remember the Jeep carriers? They were called Jeep carriers.
Right.
They were small. They were escort carriers was their technical. Their technical designation. My uncle was transported aboard one before he eventually wound up aboard Enterprise, and he said you could sit there and watch the you could in high seas.
Yeah, they're tin cans.
You could watch the hull move.
Well, Well, our missile frigates, the DDGs and more, they are literally, I mean, you've seen what happened with the Cole, the Stark.
Yeah.
And people are forgetting that the Stark and the Cole, these were attacks upon the American people, but not by the people that we think. This is our own military-industrial complex allowing and even encouraging and being involved in many of these attacks to not only see what happens, but to use it as precedent to clamp down into a military police state, martial law, military rule, because they can control the populace, because they believe, for whatever reason, you know, global warming or whatever. I don't know what these guys have actually set their eyes on and seen, that they're not telling the rest of us that, you know, the poles are going to flip and the earth is going to come undone and, you know, we're going to go through this proton. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, there's actually maps that Naval Science put out. If the glacier in the Antarctic in the south, if it slips into the ocean because it's sitting on the landmass, in the north it's actually sitting on the ocean so it won't change the water level. But in the south, it's basically held back by a pebble, and if it slides into the ocean, it could raise the water level 20 to 50 feet.
Yeah, that's a great big ice cube in the cocktail glass.
Right, and if that happens, and we've seen what happened with Bondi Atcha, and I believe, and you can call me a conspiracy nut or whatever you want, I don't care, I'm just trying to pass on the information. We have if you dropped a nuke in the ocean, you could easily set off a tsunami, period. It's that simple. I don't care what you say or how you try to defend that. If you drop a nuke and have it detonate on the ocean's floor, you can easily, because of the enormous bubble, for want of a better way of explaining it, that would come about from
Yeah, anybody who's ever thrown a stone in a pond.
Right. And then the collapse of that bubble, all of a sudden you would create, and if you don't think that this is possible, some of the stuff with the scalar weapons and to where these guys are using technology from Tesla and others to where they can fracture off from the Van Allen belts, the electromagnetic field of the Earth, they're playing games that could conceivably rip apart the electromagnetic field of the world because they're not doing the things like right now with the polar ice caps melting. They need to be doing everything possible. We have the technology and the resources. If they really believe in this global warming, you know, hooey, I believe it's true, but I believe the people that are taking it over and trying to commandeer that whole movement, they're trying to use it against us, and they want to use it to shut down the system. I mean, even now, if there's a general strike, they would love that, because they've been fortifying the mail distribution, food distribution, water distribution, water containment, all the different systems, not only in the United States but throughout the world, and conserving them as if, almost like Aldous Huxley, they want to push the rest of us out onto the reservation. And if they take down the infinite grid, you know, which they could do with a flip of a switch, we've seen what's happened in New York and other places. They could, and it would get to the point where it's every man, woman, and child for themselves. All they have to do is just take down the system, shut things off, because we're into this whole, you know, trying to think of a just-in-time delivery system for everything, food, water, and more. They could shut off the spigot on everything and put us out into the cold for 30, 60, 90, 6 months a year, starve out 75% of the population, and we're not only starving them out, but people would start attacking each other and more. And then down the road, they come out, they feel that all of a sudden they've handled global warming, they've handled pollution, they've handled overpopulation and more. And if you don't think that these people are capable,
and it's all just a function of murder.
Well, yeah, it is, because, I mean, think of Winston.
Oh, I understand some of this. I know what you're getting at. I don't think there's any getting around just by virtue of the fact that there are more human beings on the planet right now than there have ever been on the planet, and that these human beings exist by virtue of burning fossil fuels. I don't think there's any getting around the reality of global climate change, and that
right.
Global
well,
climate change is negative.
It. Well, but oil is captured solar energy.
Yeah.
What we're doing is we're taking that old solar energy and re-releasing it into the environment rather than keeping that oil there or coal or other carbon products and allowing it to condense and compress into, say, diamonds, you know, that is a long time of...
it takes a little bit.
You know, right, and well, it takes a lot of energy, too. So rather than allowing that energy to be absorbed by the planet and all these little blanket systems used to actually absorb it, convert it into other materials over time, now we're liberating all of this, old solar energy that's been stored on the planet for a very long time. And we're also, by doing that, we're injuring the magnetic field, the polar ice caps. If you think, like, super cooling, and you start to realize that the polar ice caps are much like and create a super magnet.
Well, when you said that people are trying to hijack the global warming debate, who are you talking about?
Al Gore and others. I mean, he's part of the establishment. Forget about inconvenient truth and all this stuff that's coming out. What is he doing scientifically? You know, he created the internet, supposedly. I'm joking, of course. But he was instrumental in it and actually getting it out there as a public trust. But what is he doing as far as the debate to actually make positive changes? I'm not saying like taking everybody off of coal or oil or anything like that, and that's necessary. Moving to electric and hybrids and more. Part of that, though, is this whole bomb shelter mentality that if you scare the people, we'll get off of these, gas burning cars, and now we'll buy hybrids. And it's an economic concern.
Well, I don't believe that where global warming is concerned, there are any easy answers.
But there's things on a grand scale that governments and corporations could be doing. And I'm talking about like literally, if you started to, and we could build this. Is build, and you'll laugh, but build snow blowers, and I'm talking like on a grand scale on the polar ice cap, to not only desalinate ocean water, which would lower the level of the ocean worldwide, provide more land, also help answer some of the problems that we're having in many regards as to cultivation. Even supposedly, over in Japan, they've discovered these pyramid structures that are under the water that are they believe to be 15,000 years old. I believe that the sea level was much lower over time than it's raised, the polar ice caps and more melting. That if we started to restore that, which we have the ability, we have the technology to do it, that at some point we would strengthen the electromagnetic field around the Earth, the Van Allen belt, which would also deflect the solar wind from the sun, which would help with the whole global warming issue. And at some point, we need to do the smaller things, moving off of coal, moving towards renewable energy like solar and more. But there's larger things that we need to address and address quickly that would, at the same time, solve many of the problems. Like Katrina wouldn't have happened if the world's sea level was 100 feet lower rather than 20 to 50 feet higher. We would be living in an entirely different world.
Arguably, sure. And I guess we may be going a little too far afield, but the world's sea levels were dramatically lower during the Great Ice Age, to the point that one of the problems that archaeologists have is in trying to prove the migration into the Americas is the fact that most of what were most likely the settlement zones for those early humans coming into the Americas are submerged.
Yeah, the land bridge, the Bering Strait.
Not just the land bridge, the California coast.
Right.
The Central American coast, islands that aren't there anymore that are nothing, are little more than reefs now. Things similar to the Pacific atolls. I understand all that. I'm concerned insofar as your theory of pushing us toward global, perpetual war for perpetual peace, something positively Orwellian.
If global warming is real, then Gore and all these other people should be out there, Lieberman and Moore, saying, no, we have to stop the war because, oh, my God, this is so serious that look what's happening with the glaciers and more. Did he bring up in Inconvenient Truth anything about the war and the shock and awe and all the weapons that were...
No, but that does come up in the new book, The Assault on Reason.
Kudos.
Talking about the frankly, as has been said by another host on this network, what we're doing here with the Horn is what Al Gore is talking about and putting it on wheels. because he spends a lot of time saying that things like the Iraq War could not happen if we had viable debate and discussion in this country instead of the fouled up, mixed up, muddled up, corporatized media mess, the daily spoon feeding of pablum to an anesthetized, drugged out America that we have.
Right.
So I think he really is trying to address this issue. Sadly,
you can't blame the American people, and everybody likes to do it, that it's our fault for being ignorant or uninformed. Well, I was born and raised a Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic grade school and high school. I was indoctrinated into this system to believe that the Pope is God on earth. And I don't know what your religious stuff.
Well, what you get told when you're a child tends to stick.
Right. And at some point, now I'm looking at this guy Ratzinger, who was also German, who was also a brown shirt in Nazi Germany. He's not the individual who said, no, I will not be a brown shirt. I will go to jail. I will allow you to execute me.
Nope. Ratzinger joined right up in the Hitler Youth, didn't he?
Yep. And
yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's the Pope. If you don't see or realize that the Catholic Church is a political organization that has so much wealth amassed in the Vatican City. Just think about what the Vatican City is in the middle of Italy, and think of what Washington, D.C. is in the middle of the United States, and think of what now Jerusalem will be in the middle of the Middle East, to where now Jerusalem, they're trying to basically set it up almost like a Vatican-type city. And this goes back, there's a lot of information and letters and all sorts of stuff that goes into this. They're trying to set Jerusalem up as this city unto itself within this region, to where even people like Rothschild has bequeathed enormous sums of money to build the new library, and there's a Supreme Court building and more, under the express conditions that no one knows how much it costs to build the facility. And so when you start looking at it and you step back and take into consideration history and mankind and human nature, you realize that we're being taken on a grand scale, and Bush and Cheney and these guys who are playing these games in the Middle East. Think about what I said before about Attila the Hun and Genghis Khan. If you want to launch your people into a foreign war of aggression, what is the best way to marshal your troops or your citizen soldiers? Is to attack them. Well, what is Bush doing in the Middle East? If you think Bush loves Israel, guess again. These guys are absolutely crazy.
No, the Bush administration wants the whole Middle East on fire.
Oh yeah, and he hates Israel as much as he hates the Middle East. He's probably as anti-Semitic as you can get, because if you look into even the terms Semitic or anti-Semitic, Semitic is all of the Middle East. It's not just, you know, Israel or those who are Jewish. It's all of the Middle East, Arab, Muslim, and more. But anti-Semitic is just Israel. And what he's doing is he's marshaling the troops, attacking all those who are Persian, Arab, Muslim, and more. And at some point, you know, if I was Israel, I'd be doing everything to get this nutbag out of office, because he's setting up the conditions to have, not only Russia, quote-unquote, the bear from the north or whatever, but Persia and more, come through and just wipe Israel off the map and push it into the ocean. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff, the level of gamesmanship that is going on.
Well, there's no getting around the fact that when Ahmadinejad rattles his saber, the oil prices go up.
But then they
come back down, and then George Bush rattles his saber and the prices go back up too.
But Ahmadinejad is a puppet. He's a strong man for the Bush administration and whoever they're working for. Just like Chavez is, just like Noriega was, just like even Castro, they like this paradigm, North versus South. Look at our own Civil War, North versus South. Vietnam, North versus South. Korea, North versus South. Okay, let's change it up so they don't catch on. Let's do Germany, East and West. And now they're taking it to a new level to have North America pitted against South America, North and South, and they've got Chavez and these other people who are, you know, beating their war drums and speaking out and, you know, driving this populist movement, when it's really a game to basically, you know, set all of South America against North America, just like we set our northern states against our southern states.
And meanwhile, the American people sit here and they take their news 20 seconds at a time. There's no deep analysis. Most people, we've got thousands and thousands of listeners here, but certainly we're not reaching, you know, at a level of, say, the evening news, so that we're not carrying on the detailed discussion such as you and I are having here, Lieutenant Shine, that is integral to the survival of our constitutional republic.
Of our species.
Okay.
I mean, it gets to the point where, you know, this is not just about the republic, because they've taken it globally. I mean, they've taken this program of feudalism, fascism, because Bush has been going around under the Commerce Clause that, you know, Congress basically handed over to him, and he's been going to other countries and saying, look, let's make a deal. What do you want? Door number one, door number two, door number three. All right, fine. Now it's my turn to pick. I want door number two. And he's been cutting deals around the world with these other, quote-unquote, self-appointed royal families. You know, I mean, think about it. The Rothschild family, and I don't know these people. I don't have anything against them. I, you know, never met them. But it bothers me enormously that they somehow have the power to set the gold price worldwide twice daily. How does any kind of family gain that control over the system, any system?
It's astonishing. Lieutenant Shine, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I genuinely have. And I wish you the very best as you continue your fight. I think you're doing noble stuff in encouraging people to inform themselves, encouraging people to study, encouraging people to get involved with their own, frankly, with their own well-being, and not detach themselves as they presently are. Is there a website or anything where folks can go, or?
Well, we're going to have it up. It's going to be www.LieutenantEricShine or LieutenantShine.com or .org. We're still working on it. Been trying to get it up. I've had one attack after another. It's been going on 4 years now, and Homeland Security is still, and they initially were prosecuting me extremely aggressively for this. They brought charges against me and have been prosecuting me for the last 4 years for being depressed, trying to prove that I'm medically, mentally incompetent somehow.
Oh, brother. Well, take care.
Anything you can do to have me back on and also spread the word, because this isn't just about me. This is about all of us.
Yes, it absolutely is. And make sure you keep in contact so that we can continue to follow your fight.
Peace.
Thank you. You too.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Lieutenant Eric Shine, of the honors graduate of the United States Merchant Marine Academy. We shot right past the news. I'm a little dry here. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Hey, look, we got 25 minutes or so. Give me your thoughts. There's God knows there's plenty to talk about in this last hour and a half worth of conversation radio. Share your thoughts. I want to hear them. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. From the foot of Mount Belsoni.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Do you remember the Kellogg's Rice Krispies jingle?
Snap, what a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, clap, clap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies.
Well, this week on Foxed Up, you will be surprised to know just who composed that jingle and the band who recorded it. So join us this Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern with John Fox on Foxed Up. Right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Pops the sound, the best is missed unless Pop's around.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
First, they were freaked by the Da Vinci Code. They thought it was true. You know, like the Left Behind series. Now, some people are saying Jesus was gay. Jesus was not gay. If he were gay, he wouldn't have worn a white robe after Labor Day.
Hi, I'm Peter Godbold, and welcome to Strictly Confidential. The show premieres June the 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network.
Umbrella, no need to talk. The man and the humbug hiding in the fog will be watching. Get yourself a ticket, go through the gate at 7:45 precisely, don't be late. If anybody follows, don't hesitate, keep on walking. I take the night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there will be a fame on his tunic.
Welcome back, and it's about 21 minutes before the hour. We're almost done with tonight's edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and without any ado whatsoever, let's go straight to the phones. Our good friend Alan is waiting. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm getting along, I reckon.
I was in a debate earlier on CB radio. It just kind of upset me when a lot of people... When I get to a debate and there's a lot of people listening, and there's hardly anybody who comes to my side, I feel like there's maybe a lot of people who agree with me, but they're just afraid to say anything.
I think that is a prevalent thing in America these days, Alan. Of course, one might argue that you're on CB, and I'm assuming in the South, your allies might be a little bit thinner than what we might expect in other places.
Yeah, I think it happens in a lot of other places too.
Oh yeah,
not just the South.
But what was your particular tactic or topic this time through?
I want to talk about the Vietnam War, and they were saying the old stupid stuff that we could just pull them out, just bomb the whole place. Same thing with Iraq. Just kill them all.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Just dehumanize everybody. It's just, and I kind of made analogies saying that they said the same thing about the black, sir, and you know, 20, 30 years ago, that black people were all the same.
Oh, I know. It is frustrating. It's absolutely infuriating when you see people that you consider your fellow Americans who actually believe and talk and think that way. Did you make any headway?
Oh, I think I did. I use a lot of the talking points that I hear, like your show and Tom Hartman's show. You know, like if Iraq's main export was like butter beans, would we attack them?
Precisely.
Yeah. One thing I like to get across to your listeners, if you drive a lot, get a CB radio, because when you get a debate on CB radio, there could be, in some places, there could be like 50 other people listening. You know?
Sure.
Reach people.
Just out of curiosity, I know we've actually got some other listeners who do use Citizens Band. When you see these things take place, is it just sort of random what channel they're happening on, or do people use one channel over the other for these kind of things?
We mainly just use one channel. So a lot of times people get upset when you start talking about politics, so I don't start it unless it's election time.
But, well, you know that you don't start it, Alan. That's one of the more interesting facets of this. What you see is people throwing out this right-wing stuff, and they just expect everybody to hosanna in behind them, and then it absolutely shocks the shorts off of them when you come back and you go, no, that's not the way it is.
Oh, yeah. I throw out a lot of facts, and they're just so stunned. Like, where'd you hear that? Like the Iraqi parliament yesterday saying that they want us out of Iraq.
Yeah.
They never heard that. That was on the news. So they never heard that because I guess it wasn't on the news that they listened to.
It didn't run on Fox.
Uh-huh.
Everything going pretty well for you these days, Alan?
It's pretty good. I just wanted to tell you that and encourage your listeners to get a CB radio and give me some help out here.
All right. Sounds good. You know, I've got a base station out in the building. I need to drag that out and see if I can make that go again.
It's kind of fun sometimes.
Oh, it sure is. It really, really is. Well, Alan, you stay safe. It's always good hearing from you, my friend.
Oh, thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Alan. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, if you called in and just suddenly went on hold, that's because Agnes had to bug out to go pick up the young man at his football camp. So that leaves me behind the board to screw up the end of the program. Let's see who's on this line. Hey, you're head on.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I'm here in North Dakota. You're down there in West Virginia, huh?
You betcha.
Yeah, there are a lot of people around this planet wondering what the hell's happening, don't they?
Yeah, and I sympathize a great deal with Lieutenant Shine because... You can see so much going on. Now, I couldn't disagree with him more about global warming. And I don't jump in for Rockefellers and Morgans and Bilderbergers and trilateral societies either. I like to try to get my hands on problems that are solvable.
Absolutely.
But the fact that our national security has been sold out to multinational foreign corporations, or that the Chinese, I've got no problem with that.
I understand that we have a national dilemma. We have a worldwide national dilemma for the United States of America. Is it? And I kind of wonder. I mean, I listened to Malloy the other night, and it was like, hey, it's over. The grand experiment, it doesn't exist anymore. It's been destroyed by all these people that Lieutenant Shine, what was it?
Shine.
Yeah, he exploited on your program and tried to tell us that we're under attack, but good God, my friend, you know we're under attack. Every day of the week we're under attack. We're under attack by, what was that wonderful phrase that I heard? Willful ignorance. Willful ignorance. People that don't even want to look into this young man's dilemma, or look into what's going on around them. They're so busy watching. What was this one? This just this last weekend they had this thing on there, this skinny little ghost of a female that was so imprisoned by her whatever, okay?
Yeah.
And I won't say the name. You can say it, but I won't, all right? And we've been imprisoned by that, but I remember a great man. A man that went off to war and came home again to raise a family. And I think his first name was Ken.
Yeah.
Kenneth.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember a young man telling me something about, dang, I rode a train, and I wanted to hear about the tutu. I really did. I don't care about all this other crap that we.
No, do. I'm gonna get around to my Planes, Trains, and Automobiles story. It may happen tomorrow evening.
That would be nice.
Because frankly, it was an eye opener for me, Bob.
Bob, it's an eye opener for anyone that cares about family, anyone that cares about themselves and their children. If they just connect to those that came before, and Bob, you hooked me up with a WW2 that I've been hooked up with them for longer than you can remember, but I have been, and I am one of them. I'm a warrior. I was in the fight. I can give you names of operations and stuff like that, and I can even give you the verified papers of the places I've been. But it doesn't matter to people that don't care, Bob. But the wonderful thing about Bob and Agnes Kincaid that I have learned is that you care. You truly do. You care about the United States of America, the Constitution of this nation, and the people that stand with this nation and stand for that Constitution. And that's what's important, Bob. If you stand for the Constitution or you stand for yourself, and if you stand for yourself, you stand alone.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Constitution, and I've got this notion. I don't know how I'm going to pull it off, but I think at some point this summer my ambition is to take the whole fam-damily and go to Washington, D.C., and show them the Constitution.
There you go.
And I get the sense it's going to be a lot like looking at a mummy.
Well, it may be, Bob. It may be that the mummy is just a dried-up piece of corpse from a time gone by.
A bit of wishful thinking.
A bit of wishful thinking. But, or maybe the mummy lives, huh? And the mummy will come back.
Yeah.
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 And maybe, but it takes people with heart and character and strength. And I find that in you. And I find it in those young men that you talk to. And I love that English boy that came over here to America, or maybe he was an American and went over to England, and he started telling the truth about them ripping off our black brothers, their votes. And, what was his name?
No, Greg Palast. Sure.
And yeah, I would have loved to follow him into any kind of a fight, because that boy, he's got backbone, Bob.
That's a hell of a book he's written, Bob. It's well worth the read, especially now that it's out in paperback.
He's got backbone. He's got strength and character and courage, and I appreciate him a lot. I followed him on the net, and I got several of his DVDs. And
yeah. I remember Bush Family Values. That was quite the eye opener.
Yeah, I got a lot of his writings, and I've kind of listened to him, and you know, I find in men and women on this head-on network courage and strength, and that's what we're going to need in the days coming, because if you don't have the, you know, cojones to stand up and fight for what you believe in, then lay down and let them kick you like a dog. And I won't lay down. I won't be kicked, and I will not just roll over to the Bushies or anybody else. But I got this to say to you, son. I love you, and I love Agnes, and I love Head On Radio Network. And Oh, to those ladies out there, I gotta say this, Agnes did one heck of a job while she weren't there.
Yeah, I know. I keep hearing about that. She gets more fan mail than I do.
But she's,
you guys love her more than you do me. What's a guy supposed to do?
Well, hey,
I'm jealous. Okay, I mean, there's ego involved with this.
Bob, until they spray me with that, you know, kind of that magic bomb that makes us kind of connect, and you know, then I'm gonna love Agnes a whole lot more than you.
And I want it that way, Bob. Believe me, I really, really do.
Well, whenever Bush gets that magic kabush bomb, I'd like to call it a kabush bomb. You know, it's not a, hey, my.
You know, for God's sakes, you drop one of those things. What happens if the wind shifts and it blows back on your own shock troops, and the next thing you know, they're standing there doing high kicks like the Radio City Rockettes.
Isn't that the truth? See, that's the truth, Bob. It's insanity.
Well, and see, that's, but again, I'm really glad you brought it back up, Bob, because, again, there are more issues involved in that fairly simple, on-the-surface, funny little story than meets the eye, because what it tells you, among other things, is that the federal government, not the federal government, the military, the Pentagon, is still enamored of chemical warfare, because at the end of the day, this is a manifestation of their weapons design for chemical warfare. They're designed for weapons of mass seduction.
Yes, sir. Or subjugation. Let's put it that way.
Now, I like weapons of mass seduction. It works better. It scans, Bob. But they're still thinking that chemical weapons, gas weapons, biological, because this is both chemical and biological, that this is the way to go. And it tells you that the people in the think tanks in the Pentagon are every bit as amoral as nefarious and as quite frankly outright nasty as any Dr. Death that Saddam Hussein ever put on the payroll.
Bob, I'm going to leave you with this one, okay? And it's not a like our stupid is and stupid does from the Forrest Gump thing. This is the Forrest Gump thing. This is the silly is silly is, you know? Silly is silly does. These people are silly, Bob.
I got the better part of a bottle of 100 proof liquor over here, and I could get all over that, Bob, and still not come up with a gay bomb.
Yeah, that's how silly it is. It's, you know, our great, our wonderful and deliciously delirious friend down there in Florida, you know?
Yeah.
Peter is the man. He is the man. No, really, he's a man, more of a man than any other man, because he is understanding of all the issues and all this silliness. He understands it better than most white Caucasian Protestant males or Catholic males across the country. He doesn't have a problem with it. They have a problem with it, Bob, and I don't have a problem with Peter either. I think he's a great guy. I really do. Because he says who he is.
Most of the people who listen to this network, who share their time, who help us out, Bob, in whatever the way that they do, by participating, writing, talking, whatever, I would be more than happy to have at my back in a fight, because these are people who understand what patriotism and what real courage means, because we live in a time when speaking out is an act of courage.
There you go. And hey, they ain't got me in the coffin yet, and they ain't going to get me there until they hammer me into the ground like a post, because by golly, I'll still be sticking it up into their face and saying, hey, kiss this, okay? They can pound me down head on into the ground, right?
Yep.
But they still got to kiss with stick it up.
That's right. Okay? Hey, Bob, I got to roll out of here. We're done, brother.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening, and hey, give that lady of yours a hug and a kiss from Glenda and me.
I will, and I sure hope Glenda's getting better. We worry about her.
Hey, things are working. They'll get there in time, and we're not in a rush, but we are in a, what is that word? We're in a quandary right now, Bob. We don't know whether to lock and load and go out there and start dropping them in the ditches, or just to say enough is enough. So if you want us to fight this, come on, stand up and say, let's bring it on. And let's go on head on and take it on head on. Or let's talk. And let's really talk. Not this gibberish at the Bush administration stuff. But let's talk about what's really there for all of us. And either we take care of our future and our children's future and the state of this country and the state of this world, or we just forget the whole damn mess and go back to living in caves and beating each other over the head with sticks. That's all we got left. Either we go back to the caveman days, or we get together and we turn around and go away from this ugliness that has been wasted on us for the last 7 years by the Bush administration, by the Clinton administration, by the Bush administration. And you can go right back there, but Jimmy Carter was the best man that ever landed in the office of the presidency. The only problem was that he was attacked by those. Okay.
All right.
Good night, my friend.
Take care, Bob. Talk to you soon.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye now. Wow. Where'd it go? These things go by faster and faster, I find. Tomorrow night, big fun. We had a wonderful conversation a couple of weeks ago with Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. He's going to be back with us tomorrow. This story broke over at Truthout about the Leavenworth Bible study scandal, and I considered doing it on the air, but then I thought far better to let the guy who knows it best do it himself. So Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation will be on the show tomorrow night for a prayer meeting. Fitting, isn't it? I hope you'll join us then. Agnes did a lovely job producing most of the program, and I've managed not to screw it up too terribly thus far, putting an end to it. Of course, our engineer is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Our announcer is Brian Reznor. Peter Godbold, soon to be fabulous host of Strictly Confidential, is our IT consultant. Ben Birch is the hardest working man in liberal talk. He proves it every day. Every time you click onto the stream to listen to this program, he proves it to you personally. And he always needs your help. I just remind you, because he won't send a bill. We sincerely appreciate the hard work of the thousands of members of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters. The Carpenters provided our startup money for this network. And by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream even as they build the American dream. Liza, I know the shots were nasty, and maybe you won't have any more for a little while. So just rest easy, baby. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns is accusing Iran of helping Taliban insurgents in Afghanistan. He says Iran is transferring weapons to the insurgents. This is the first time a U.S. official is accusing Iran of interfering in Afghanistan and contradicts comments made by Defense Secretary Gates and other top U.S. officials. A scathing report has come from within, as more than 50 Iranian economists lashed out at the way President Ahmadinejad is running their country, saying that his government is ignoring basic economic principles. They're predicting economic ruin as inflation spirals out of control, money is squandered, and official statistics are scoffed at, saying other dubious government numbers are played up. Their grim assessment puts the blame directly on domestic mismanagement, not international sanctions. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Negroponte arrived in Iraq today to pressure the government to do more to improve its security forces and it end sectarian violence. As the troop surge continues to apply pressure to the insurgents inside Baghdad, the enemy devises more clever places to hide. Today, U.S. and Iraqi troops stormed a candy factory that was being used by Sunni insurgents outside of town. The Republican co-chair of the Iraq Study Group says it may no longer be possible to withdraw U.S. combat troops from Iraq by March 2008, while former Secretary of State James Baker says the Bush administration appears to be moving toward more acceptance of the group's recommendations for disengagement. The chairman of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, is accusing Hamas of staging a bloody coup to take over the entire Gaza Strip.